The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Tao.
It's Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you going to wake up?
And he would go into stores with a delivery cart loaded up with cases of beer.
No way.
And then just roll it right out the front door.
Right out the front door? So they thought that he was just a beer guy.
No one questioned what was going on since he looked legit. Never mind that he's leaving the store with beer and not bringing it in.
Yeah, cases of beer.
I don't even know what to call him. What do you call that guy? Because everybody's got like a cool thief name. You know, it's like, oh, we got the Stick-Em-Up Bandit. He used Stick-Em Gum.
Blend In Man.
Okay. You are
funny. What? You know he blends in?
Yeah, we get it.
I'm Blend In Man.
Dex, that is exactly your hero.
Here's
name. You are Blend In Man.
This is the inspiration.
You can't fight evil with a macaroni duck!
I have serious mental problems!
I don't get it.
You looked at me with such conviction.
Did he just have passion in his eyes?
Okay, you come
like,
up
I'm
one.
So glad you weren't Superman's best friend.
You know
You're
what?
Like, I got it.
Top it.
Fly guy. What?
Okay.
Yeah, man. Your
All
superhero
right.
name. You're a fly guy.
I'm fly
you
can, guy.
You have a cape and you fly.
This is my sidekick.
We need more people out there that do help out others.
Throw the switch.
We gotta go, go, go.
Let's go.
Show must go on, right?
Go, go.
It's showtime.
Y'all ready for this? Hey, y'all ready, fellas?
Beautiful Thursday,
beautiful.
August 18th.
Beautiful, beautiful.
6:09 in the a.m.
High today.
What?
Yep.
I might have to go back to Ron Ketty.
Oh, no.
Hey,
this keeps it's happening. 88 degrees.
You want to get punched
there are
right
thunderstorms
there?
This evening. You don't need to go to him.
What'd you say?
88 degrees.
88 degrees!
Thunderstorms tonight.
Yes. Guys, it's going to be fall before we know it.
It really is.
Woo!
Ah! Moving in.
Oh. It's so weird how quickly rain happens here.
Yeah,
yesterday it was like sunny. I'm hanging out.
Did it rain?
Reading comic books. And all of a sudden it was just like, kaboom!
Really?
Lightning, thunder. It poured at my house for like 3 minutes, and then it was sunny. So weird.
Desert, man.
Just enough to scare the chickens. Yeah.
Hey, have you ever thought about putting pants on your chickens?
No, not ever. Not even once.
You think that
I've
would be
never
really
thought
funny?
About it.
You think that'd be really, really funny?
My chickens are really odd birds.
I think you should try it because there's a video that I saw this morning.
Oh, look at that chicken. My gosh.
He's just hanging out wearing pants.
He's got shorts.
Yeah.
Why does that chicken have pants
That's
on?
The best chicken.
That is
Get
the funniest
here,
thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, somebody chicken on pants. Facebook put a shorts or pants, you know, whatever.
So
you know?
Good.
It's just so funny.
I think they're like toddler shorts, but they look like
yeah,
pants
you
on
can
the
put
chicken.
Brody's.
Oh my gosh.
Shorts or pants on that chicken.
Johnny Danger's pants.
Yep.
Oh,
look
man.
At him just running around. He's just loving life.
That is hilarious. So
check out my pants.
Except, here's the thing. Let's get real. Chickens poop a lot.
Yeah, they do. You got to cut a hole in that jersey.
Yeah.
Make
dude,
sure it can get out.
You can't. We let them roam around, and it's just like
chickens
be
gotta roam.
Careful.
Be careful.
They'll
yourself.
Just drop it wherever.
You don't let them just run around the house every once in a while?
No. Although one time they did get out, and while we were chasing them around, we weren't paying attention, and one ran into the kitchen. Feathers everywhere. Because they're like not super rational animals. They don't just stop and think for a second. They lose their crap. Like, they just lose it.
Wow.
They start flapping their wings and just freaking out. Ah! Like everything's wrong and the sky is falling and we're all going to die. And there's and just feathers go everywhere and they freak. And you there's no calming them down.
Oh, man.
They're chickens.
They're chickens.
You're chickens.
They're chickens.
Oh, y'all chicken.
Seriously. It's crazy. And I keep going, Chrissy, why do we have chickens?
Because it's cool to have chickens, man.
It's not cool, man.
Yeah.
It's not cool. And the big thing she always said was, it's going to save us so much money on eggs.
Has it?
We spend stupid amounts of money on scratch, chicken feed, hay,
yeah.
Taking care of chickens.
Eggs aren't that expensive.
Ugh.
Yeah, eggs.
I hate it. I'm not going to lie.
I think I'd rather just get eggs.
Yeah.
Or if the best is when you're in a situation like me. And all of your friends have chickens, and
right.
You can just say, hey, you guys got eggs?
Do you guys, are you sick of eggs?
No. Huh? And they taste fantastic. Yeah. I mean, they are great. The eggs are great. And you can tell a difference.
You can.
All natural.
We got to go to
Steve-O. I know.
It's comic book day yesterday.
We're a day late.
Yeah, I'm a day late this week.
Yeah.
I keep thinking today is Wednesday. It is Thursday, full on.
Somebody
Thursday.
On the live line wants to know if when my chickens get scared, does that make my eggs runny?
Hey-o.
No, no, it does not.
It's Tayo. Hey-o, it's
Tayo.
We got the live line open. You can text the show, 585-LIVE. 585-5483.
Hey, shout out to Amanda Brienno. She sent me a Starbucks gift card for my birthday.
What?
Wow.
That's cool.
That's cool.
That's really, really cool. Shout out to Teo. He got me a Havoc action figure for my birthday. That would be Alex Summers, Scott Summers' brother.
Yep.
Cyclops' brother, for those that don't
know.
Well,
it's because I ordered one from this other website, and it still hasn't come in. I ordered it on his birthday.
Have you hit them up and said, dude?
I called him the other day, and then I hung up thinking, wait, I don't have time to talk to him right now, and then I forgot to call him back.
You got
to
call him back. Especially if they charged you for it.
What's the dealio, bro, now?
You need to just get a refund on that.
You can't check to see, like, I check on Amazon?
I can. Like, I have a... They set me up with an account thing.
Yeah.
It hasn't... Like, I know the money cleared, but, like, no shipping has occurred at all.
Oh, really?
Nothing has happened since the money cleared.
Where'd you get that one?
A completely different website.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this was a website that we all use and trust.
Yeah.
Because it's a Prime website.
Gotcha.
Prime.
So it came in very quickly.
Prime.
That's where I got your miles.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh. It makes me upset, everyone. This is me upset.
Man,
it's frustrating.
Well, that's cool. Glad you guys got presents
you're cool.
today. It's really nice.
I haven't even told you what I got you yet, Dex.
Well, your present should be here today. What did it say, the 18th or 19th? It's tomorrow.
Today's the 18th.
I think tomorrow. Should be here tomorrow.
That'd be neato.
Got Deo a really, really expensive gift.
It was. It was like $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep. We got a big show today. Lots to do. Letters.
Oh, good.
Olympics with Brian Nixon. Olympics are almost over.
Mm. I know. Man, it's too bad.
And the biggest thing everyone's talking about, did Ryan Lochte and his teammates lie about being robbed at gunpoint?
I think they did.
Are they liars?
Liars! Do you see that they're stuck? I mean, they're straight up stuck.
They took them off a plane.
Yeah.
They won't let them leave the country.
It's not looking good. We might even have Ryan Lochte on the show. He might check in and tell us what's going on.
Really? Yeah.
Good.
Stay tuned for that. And we'll hear from the Rio security.
Rio.
Security is, they don't mess around there.
They don't, man. It's pretty secure.
I was watching Matt Lauer last night because he sat down with Lochte. And
like
I don't
there?
Know, man.
There?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
Like right now, yesterday, they sat down?
Yeah,
like,
awesome. I didn't see that.
Matt Lauer, what you see on the news is Matt Lauer and Bob Costas talking.
I love Bob Costas.
Lochte wasn't, yeah. That's
this
yeah.
one?
No, up. That should be it.
Robbery story.
Yep.
Let's listen.
Now, when he talked to Billy Bush, you'll remember on Sunday, Bob, he said
Billy
that's
Bush?
When the guy...
Billy Bush?
Who's that?
Here, I'll Google it. Hold on.
Took the gun, put it to his forehead, and cocked it.
I think Billy Bush must have been a reporter, maybe another interviewer guy.
He's a radio host. It's this guy.
Oh, Billy Bush.
Billy Bush.
All right, continue.
To me tonight, he said, that's when the guy pointed the gun in my direction and cocked it. And I pointedly said to him, you had said before it was placed on your forehead and cocked. He said, no, that's not exactly what happened. And I think he feels it was more of a traumatic mischaracterization. I think people listening at home might feel that was embellishment at the time, but mm-hmm. that's up to people to decide.
Ooh. Mm. Oh, I didn't get into the rest. Okay. Wow. He was with Bob Costas, and they were going back and forth, and they totally got into the... I mean, come on. You know when you're involved in the situation and your emotions are running high, and then you're retelling the story, maybe you're embellishing a little,
yeah.
and we could see how these dudes... And so, yeah, I have a feeling, man, these guys might be in a spot of trouble.
More than a spot of trouble. A scotch.
Because now there's reports that, you know, surveillance footage showed them coming back.
And yeah, they were fine.
They were calm.
They were calm, and they had, you know, a watch in their, like, expensive watches and these things that you can clearly see in the video. And it's like, well, if they were robbed at gunpoint, wouldn't you think that $20,000 right. Rolex would have been taken?
They also can't find the driver of the cab the swimmers were supposedly in with when they were pulled over and robbed. Police actually went to the Olympic Village yesterday to revoke the passports of all four men, but Lochte was already back in the United States, and they're saying that it gives the impression that he fled.
Gosh.
Yeah, which he's denying. The other two guys, Gunner and Jack, were pulled off a plane at the Rio airport. Fegan was supposed to be on that plane, but he wasn't. It's not clear where he is. He's, like, disappeared.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is weird.
It's getting pretty dicey down there.
Yeah, so Lochte's, he's back. He's back in the States.
Yep.
But the other guys,
wait,
not looking
Lochte
good.
Made it out?
He made it home.
What?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
They're saying he the impression that he fled, that he, which he's denying right now. But Lochte's lawyer said he told the truth and he has nothing to hide. Yeah, so we'll talk more about that coming up with Brian and... Like I said, maybe Lochte will be on the show this morning.
We'll see. I saw at the end of your article there that there's a twist, too.
Mm-hmm. There is a twist.
There's a twist.
Yep. Some good stuff to talk about. Olympics heating up a little bit. It's almost over. I was watching... What was I watching yesterday?
What
do you call it with the... they have the goose feathers.
Badminton.
Pillow.
Croquet? It's like...
Badminton.
Badminton.
That's badminton?
Badminton is when they have the goose feather.
I was watching that. That was fun, man. Gosh, that was good.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was intense.
At this point, I'm just like, oh. I watched Usain Bolt in the semifinals.
Did he win?
Of course he did. What was awesome is he's like, and Canada all of a sudden is like, heck with this, bro, and like starts giving him a run for his money, literally. And they're like getting close to the finish line, and Usain Bolt just looks over and he smiles at him and wags his finger in his face and just whoop.
Yep.
But they were laughing, they were having a good time, so it was 1-2. So yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to pull up some badminton.
Usain Bolt is so fast.
He is, man.
You guys have seen that video that went viral, right? The camera guy caught the image of Usain Bolt in front of everybody and he's smiling.
Really?
Have you guys seen that photo?
No, I haven't seen
the story behind how he got that photo is pretty neat.
Really?
Because he's this photographer and he's... why are you looking up badminton?
Yeah. He's like, I was talking about badminton.
He's like, I haven't seen that
Usain
photo.
Bolt.
Badminton? What?
You wanted me to look up
the No, you don't have to look at it. But the story, so the guy that took the picture wasn't even supposed to be there covering that event. He was in between different events, and I can't remember what sport he was covering, but the match ended early, and he was like, oh man, Usain Bolt's running over there. And so he ran over there and set up at the 70 whatever where he knew like the breakaway would happen.
Oh wow, that's cool.
He knew the breakaway would happen, and so he just set his camera up and just did like a shutter, like a and he said he took like 5 or 6 photos, and then that one But here's the funny thing. He was in between events. And so he went through his photos real quick and found that one. It was like, oh, that's cool. And uploaded it to Twitter and then ran back to cover the event he was supposed to be doing.
Wow.
And he's taking pictures of the thing he's supposed to be doing. He starts getting texts from people like, dude, that photo's incredible. Ding, 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 wow. ding. And then he said he checks his phone and it's blown up.
Yeah.
And gone crazy.
That's pretty cool.
And he was, and that's not even his favorite photo he's ever taken. He took a photo at a tennis match at some other time of this dude, like in full stride, and like it's an incredible photo. He's a great photographer, but it's just funny to me how it was an accident.
That's cool.
Like he did it on a whim.
Yeah. Well, there goes Bolt.
Okay.
That was the flash. New 52 Wally West running.
Yes, dude, I love it.
Good grief.
Yeah.
All right. Today is the 231st day of the year.
Woo!
We're looking at 18 days until Labor Day. 39 years ago in 1977, 18 white limousines and a white hearse drove through the streets of Memphis, Tennessee to take Elvis to his not-so-final resting place. The number of flowers delivered by FTD to Graceland surpassed the number for any other event in the company's history. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
How old is Patrick? Well, how old would have Patrick Swayze be today?
The boat is off of Bodie. Point Break.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest.
I always remember him in his role in Donnie Darko, and it weirds me out.
Let's see.
What, 60, maybe?
Could've been 60. Man.
Because didn't he die pretty young?
Thought so. Young-ish. But you're right, he's probably 62.
He would have been 64.
Wow.
She's like the wind. He was born in 1952. He died in 2009. My tree.
Is this him?
It's been 7 years, man.
He fought cancers. Next to as bravely me. As he fought those troublemakers at the Double Deuce. Or the Russians, the Cubans, and Red Dawn.
They filmed that in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Hey, we got a request for a birthday shout-out.
Oh.
Speaking of birthdays. Can you guys do a birthday shout-out for my fiancé? Happy birthday, Dominic!
Know, we don't have time.
Happy birthday, Dominic. Love, Megan.
We got a busy
Megan
show.
Loves you, Dominic. She loves you.
We got a busy show. You know what she does. Feel the breath in my face. Gosh, what an amazing man. All right, let's see. What else? Oh, Christian Slater's also celebrating a birthday today.
What? Mm-hmm. Dude, Arkansas Dave?
Yeah.
Arkansas
Come
Dave.
Come on! Clarence Worley from the greatest romance movie of all time!
She's like
True Romance, that was the movie.
Yeah.
Clarence Worley.
Everyone knows that's your favorite.
Oh, man.
I can watch the whole movie right
no,
here.
No. Okay. Not even a little bit. Written by Quentin Tarantino, directed by Tony Scott.
Whole movie's right there.
Which, by the way, that's probably why the movie was better, because Quentin Tarantino wrote it, but then he wasn't given the director gig for it. This was before he was Quentin Tarantino, obviously. So when you read the script, it's super out of order, all Tarantino style. Right, so it's like you start with the ending, of course, and then it starts going back and forth, and it's all crazy. And people were like, "I don't understand." And so they gave it to Tony Scott, who's amazing. Was amazing.
Wow.
And yeah, he just did it chronologically, and it made way more sense. And it was True Romance.
It's a good movie.
You know a lot about that movie.
It was
his favorite movie.
So I have the director's cut at home. Signed by Dennis Hopper and Christian Slater.
Wow.
Like, I have a copy that I'm like, someday the cast will sign this.
You better be careful. Someone's going to break into your house one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's a DVD. It's not super valuable.
I know where all your stuff is.
When Chrissy and I took communion on our wedding day, it was to the theme song to True Romance.
Nice.
Hans Zimmer.
She's How old is he today?
And everybody said, is this the Lion King? And I said, it's True Romance! Christian Slater is 46.
I'd say he's 50.
47.
Oh.
Ah! Happy birthday, Christian Slater.
Christian Slater.
And one more here. Edward Norton.
Ooh. Edward Norton is 46.
Mm. How old was Slater? 47?
47. I feel the
48.
47 as well.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Happy birthday. Some,
dude, Swayze, Ed Norton, Christian Slater. Excellent day to be born.
Yeah.
Excellent day
Happy
to be born.
Happy birthday, Starmy, if you're celebrating. What was that person's name again?
Dominic.
Dominic.
Megan loves you, Dominic. She loves you so much. She can't live without you, Dominic.
I can't live without you.
Man, some great stuff in the news to share with you guys this morning. 585 Live, feel free to text us. You can call us at 338-3700. Teo's got some headlines. Check the roads. Good morning, Albuquerque. We'll be right back.
A roundtable with law enforcement, that's what Donald Trump is up to in New York after shaking up his campaign.
Naming conservative news website Breitbart executive Steve Bannon as campaign CEO and longtime Republican pollster Kellyanne Conway is campaign manager. At a rally in Ohio, Hillary Clinton said Trump can hire and fire anyone he wants, adding he's still the same man, there is no new Donald Trump.
Two famous faces are among those donating to flood relief. Singer Taylor Swift forking over $1 million. Lady Gaga also opening her wallet. It's unclear how much she gave.
A judge in Brazil is trying to stop two American Olympians from leaving that country, Ryan Lochte and Jimmy Feagan. Authorities want more information about the armed holdup the swimmers reported. Police haven't been able to verify the story, but Lochte's lawyer says it's too late. He's already back here.
Another wildfire burns out of control in Southern California. Officials say the Blue Cut fire in San Bernardino County has destroyed a significant number of homes, and conditions are making it difficult to fight.
Welcome to the program, Dex, Steve-O, Teo.
Hey,
Morning Invasion. 6:34.
High today of 89 degrees.
Anything happening on the roads?
Nothing. Nothing happening traffic wise. Shout out to Sopo for helping us out with traffic. That's your look at traffic.
Shout out to Dora. That's my best friend's wife.
The Explorer.
Omar. Appreciate you, buddy. Omar is the one who helped me move.
Man, that's good.
Oh, you
stuff.
Moved?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yep.
I got to see the mansion yesterday.
Teo came over yesterday.
Dude, man. For real.
Did you walk? You never saw the old
we're
house.
Talking gated community. Mm. Like,
you know, I know, right? Because he lives literally one street over from my first
house. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't know that one.
Your yard is huge, Dex.
Steven saw that house. That house way back then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Your house?
Yeah, the one that was next door. Our next street over.
You're most blessed if you get to see Dex's house.
I'm going to come over someday, maybe never. Well, actually, I'm probably not. Actually.
I couldn't believe it, though. Like,
if you haven't been there by now, I don't think you'll ever.
It looks like a desert palace. How did you guys do that?
It's all God, man.
I was just about to say, Jesus.
It's all God. Yep. It's pretty cool, man. I was putting the saying goodnight to the kids last night, and I was just kind of looking around, and I looked down the hallway of my 20,000 square foot mansion.
It's huge.
And they're going, man, just blast.
I got to put just my cars blast. In that garage. That's what he was thinking.
Is the community pool still there?
Yeah. Except we don't have a pool key.
Oh.
You have to take a class.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Class. Yeah, they were saying it's not even worth it because they closed the pool at the beginning of September.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend.
So they're saying it's not even worth
they
it.
They usually have like a big old shindig Labor Day weekend, and that's like the final weekend of the pool. Mm. I would rock that like a champion every year.
Yeah.
Man, I am so jealous. I want to live back in that neighborhood.
Tennis Let's courts.
Is there any other houses for sale? Movies. I mean, I realize
there are.
There's actually a lot of homes for sale. Which kind of
scares
me a little.
No, I loved that neighborhood.
It's a cool neighborhood
ago.
So far.
Then the drug lords moved in, and we had to move out. So It'll be cool, though, as long as you're cool with them.
Well, here's the thing. Leslie actually nice looked it up, the neighborhood, and we're in the red zone.
What's that mean?
That's not good.
Wait, there's a red zone?
Yeah, there's a
red
zone.
You can get in zones?
Yeah, red zone means there's a lot of criminal activity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we apparently live in the
red zone.
Yeah.
I live in the auto zone. Because we couldn't afford our mortgage anymore, so we're literally living in the auto zone off Manal. Yeah. I don't know if there's an auto zone off Manal. I'm sorry.
The red zone is the war zone.
Really?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe
right,
she got
how do you
wrong
look this up?
I don't know. She told me.
She's just making stuff up.
Who made that up?
She's
who
like, said that? Babe, we're in the war zone.
Hey, who said that?
Huh?
Who said it? Was it Graham Peachy tell you that?
No, his wife.
And, yeah, well,
the
there's
red
a lot
zone.
Of people putting their homes up for sale, so maybe that's why. I don't know.
The red zone France?
No.
The red zone book?
Oh, my gosh.
The red zone neighborhood.
Just type in Albuquerque.
Red zone neighborhoods.
Albuquerque. Is this a real thing?
I don't know.
ABQ danger map.
Oh. That's real?
Yeah, look up my neighborhood. See where I'm at. I think red is really bad.
Let's take a look over here. Click for the interactive
danger map.
Green
is probably really good.
Oh, my goodness. That's not the one you want to have there. Okay, let's get
let's
in.
Let's pull up my neighborhood. Let's see what
none of this makes sense.
Let's get in.
Teo's got it. Don't worry about it.
I don't know.
It's not letting me zoom in, Dex. Okay.
I found a college freshman that's entering the red zone. I found
where's your
like, I don't know what any of this means.
Hey, don't tell people.
That is a Pokemon Go locator.
You're not in a red zone. Area commands.
Gosh.
You're in the wrong thing.
No, I'm not. This is the ABQ danger map.
Your wife lied. Like, guys, we're in the red zone of La Cueva.
Hey, that's what my wife said.
Oh, it's so dangerous over there by La Cueva.
I didn't look it up. My wife said that.
So terrifying over there.
I don't know if she's right.
Yeah, she must have been looking up something else. Because that looks beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Nothing looks wrong there.
Oh, look. Here's a place called...
Yeah, see, if it was red, the highest concentration of violent crime. It's not red.
Yeah, there is a red zone.
Oh, great. Are we in the red zone?
Yes. It's Steve-O's neighborhood.
Where's that at?
It's where my kids go to school.
Like South Valley, right?
Yeah.
This is downtown.
Yeah, Central.
Yeah.
This is downtown. It's right by the convention center.
Great. Yeah. Great. So where we film? Perfect.
We don't film anything.
No, we don't. Great.
Yeah, that's
great, guys.
That's the only red zone I see.
Yeah, she must have been looking.
Here's
up
the Sandia mixed waste landfill. It's like a magenta.
That's pretty cool. So you can check and see.
Now look, highest concentration of property crime. Now that's close to you, but it's not you.
Yeah. Huh.
That's actually over here.
Yeah.
Where we are, at work here.
Oh, good.
Calvary's in there. General Mills is almost in there. Watch out.
Just living life. I got a great house, but no money. It's amazing.
You know what you need to do?
What?
Fill that thing up with money.
It was great going to lunch with you two yesterday and just watching you eat. It was fun.
Well, I mean, you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, you could have had that giant Cobb salad I had. Yeah. It was very healthy for me. There was bacon and chicken. And
what's this live line text about?
Feta cheese.
With the WWE. Do you see that?
Yeah. I do. I don't know. I mean, I know that they're wrestlers in the WWE.
All right, we need to forget that and get to the news.
Let's do it.
We need more people out there that do help out others.
Thank you.
Amen.
Asthma warrior.
Guys, shout out to my jeans. I love them. Okay. Green chili peels cause dangerous mess for drivers. We have a clip.
If it looks like green chili and smells like green chili, then it must be green chili.
We all love green chili.
But Andre Garcia and other drivers in the South Valley say seeing this New Mexico staple all over the road is no longer a laughing matter.
Every time during chili season, it happens every year, over and over.
Drivers tell us there's a food product company just down the street that roasts green chili. They say when that company's trucks transport the chili peels, the peels slosh and then spill out of the back, creating the mess you see here, amen, along Rio Bravo and 2nd, also farther south along 2nd near Lagunitas. Gosh,
usually it's covered. The whole intersection is green.
The problem is this.
It was pretty crazy watching people just slide around on the green chili.
It's like when you're a kid and you play red light, green light.
What the? I mean green chili.
That's obviously the green light.
Yep. It's green chili season.
Studio. Would you say that's a green light district?
I don't know how many times to give out the email.
Guys, if you see anything green on the road, you just slow down.
Yeah.
Don't pump them brakes. You'll just slide everywhere.
Yeah, you will.
Man, it's like crazy. Black ice. Green chili on the road is like black ice.
No, it is not.
That's what that guy said.
Yeah.
He said it's like a banana peel.
Okay.
Oh, no, not a banana peel.
The banana peel effect.
You gotta be kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the news. Do you remember the mom in Baltimore who went viral last year when a video showed her dragging her son out of the riots? I remember this. We talked about
it. Oh, yes, yes.
The same son just accidentally set their house on fire while he was making chicken on Saturday. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but the family isn't sure where they're going to go. Pictured here, the mom is dragging her son out of the burning house. No, I'm just playing, but that would be ironic. A woman in Michigan made the news in June for drop-kicking a cake at a grocery store. Well, it turns out she'd assaulted an employee at an ice cream shop last year when they ran out of a flavor, and that girl recognized her from the grocery store surveillance footage, so now she'll be facing assault charges. Assaulted caramel charges.
Mm.
Thank you. We got a clip here. This is from that story. The ice cream parlor employee's talking about getting assaulted caramel by the woman who drop-kicked a birthday cake.
She came in, she wanted Mackinac Island fudge, and we just didn't happen to have it. We had needed to make a new batch. And she was infuriated that we did not have it. How can you not have Mackinac Island fudge? How is that possible? How is that bleeping possible? She didn't settle. She was insistent that we had it somewhere and we were hiding it. She got more and more agitated. She started screaming at me and cursing me out, at which point Linda came over and told her to lay off. Lady starts screaming at Linda, telling her customer's always right, all that fun stuff. Then Linda says, you know what? If you're going to keep acting like this, you don't get any ice cream.
Oh, right.
And throws her ice cream back in the freezer.
Don't mess with Linda.
She jumped over the counter and hit me in the head. It's like she put a ring.
Man.
To where she did, she like hit me right here.
Linda!
People are crazy.
Right?
Oh my God.
Wow. People be crazy.
My heart goes out to people in customer service. That is just a tough, tough job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never worked customer service.
Oh, really?
Dude, retail. Dude, I worked retail, yeah.
I don't know what that's like.
Did you know that I'm not gonna tell you guys how I know this because it's stupid, but that retail is the most common job in America. Yeah. It's like between 85% and 90% of people of Americans have worked a retail job.
Yeah.
It is like the common bond of the American people. Nobody realizes that.
Yeah. If not for this place, I would have been there forever.
Yeah, me too. Two guys in Germany got into a fight over a bad parking job last weekend. One of them ended up grabbing an 11-inch sausage and throwing it at the other person's car. He's looking at a fine for property damage.
Can't throw sausages.
Weird.
Yeah. Hey, did you cook that boar sausage?
I did again last night.
Rockin'?
Oh, my gosh. And then I just realized I left it in the fridge because I made some for today so we could eat. Since we're not going to be able to... Ah!
Yeah!
Wow. Dude, shout out to our friend Clay Schroff.
Also, man of man.
Yeah, Aspen Project, Project Zoe, boar killer.
Yeah. I still haven't taken mine home yet.
Oh, dude, it's so good. I was texting him earlier in the week saying, thank you for sponsoring all of my meals this week. Because everything... Chrissy is not so much a fan. She's just not a fan of... No, not at all, actually. It tastes fantastic.
I love sausage.
And last night I seasoned it differently and it tasted better to her. So
okay.
I'm getting it locked in, man.
All right.
Just in time for me to run out.
Yours when you is going to
taste
in,
really good.
I'll bring mine over.
You should come over tonight. Erickson's coming over. We're going to kick it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
cook some, make some.
Can Dex come over?
Sausage. I don't know. Don't tell him. I mean,
Dex, will you mute your mic real quick? I don't really want to. You just mute your mic real quick.
Just real quick.
Hey,
yeah.
Maybe you should invite Dex over.
This feels so good.
Very uncomfortable.
What are you talking
this
about?
This is great, man. That's
he
never,
can't hear you.
This never happened.
Just say whatever you want.
Usually
to
I'm the one that gets muted. Yeah. I made it, guys. I made it.
Invite Dex over.
They can actually hear
us. But where? Hello?
To your house. Okay. Guys? I'll come over for sure.
Okay.
Are you there?
Hey, Dex, will you turn your mic back on?
Thanks. Hello?
Hey, man.
Oh. If you're about to take a huge risk, like quitting your job to start a business, maybe you got some like little YouTube startup or something like that, do not make a plan B in case you fail, because then you will fail.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see, right. No plan Bs, guys. Fail!
If you make a backup plan, you will fail.
Ugh.
A new study from the University of Wisconsin and University of Pennsylvania found that people who make a backup plan are more likely to fail on a project than people who don't even entertain the possibility of things not working out.
You have failed this city.
The people who had the backup plans wound up putting in less effort than people who did not have backup plans, which made them much more likely to fail.
No kidding.
The percentages are insane.
Mm-hmm.
So guys,
mm-hmm.
Throw out the backup plan.
Okay. Just throw it out.
Full steam ahead, straight onto the Titanic, and we will hit that iceberg.
I love it. I'm in.
Maybe, Dex, Steve-O, you've always had dogs that are mentally broken.
Oh, gosh.
Because they would literally climb over your dying bodies if there were a scrap of food on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh.
Has this been your experience with animals, mm-hmm. with dogs in particular? Well, maybe your dog actually isn't like that at all. A new study out of Emory University in Atlanta studied dogs' brain scans to see how they reacted to their owners praising them by giving them a belly rub versus giving them a treat. You ready for the shocker? Almost every dog preferred the sweet, loving belly rub to the treat. Every dog, just about, except for the very selfish ones that were actually cats.
It's a good boy.
The researchers say that's useful info for training a dog, and it might be more effective to train them by rewarding them with a belly rub or praise instead of a treat.
Interesting.
Who's ready to save money on doggy treats?
I am.
There you go.
That makes me so happy. I wonder if that's why Rocket, like, he has multiple tricks, but they inevitably all end with him rolling over onto his back.
Man, I got to tell you, the whole spray bottle, if you have a dog and you're trying to train them, use a spray bottle.
No, if you have the dog the size of a cat.
It works.
It works.
So good.
Yeah.
Vader's
a pug.
He's a great dog now.
Smaller than Beans.
He picks something up, ready to take off with it, going to chew it up, and I'm like, drop it! And he drops it right away because he thinks I'm going to spray him.
Yeah.
Man, me and my buddy Steven Christian, he's my best friend.
Okay.
We were talking about our cats the other day. And I have two cats. I have Beans and I have Panda, and they are both wonderful. And Steven has a cat named Lasagna.
That's a great name.
Yes, what a great name. He says his daughter named it Lasagna, but I know it was him. Because he loves cute little furry animals.
I always pictured him being a dog guy.
No, he's a cat dude.
Wow.
Straight up. You talk to him for a few minutes, and you start to realize, you're like, there's something about this guy.
Wow.
He's a cat guy.
He is a cat guy.
That's what it is. And, so Stephen Christian, formerly of Amberlynn, and I sit around and talk about cats. That's just what I wanted everybody to know.
652 Cats.
652 Cats. I've been getting texts on the cat line, guys. It's still out there. Still out there. Oh, man, we missed an obvious joke back with that sausage story. Somebody texted on the live line. They said, it was a sausage party. Well done. Story out of the APD. A woman tried to spring her boyfriend from a police car by ramming it on the freeway. Straight out of a movie, folks. An Albuquerque woman tried to spring her boyfriend from the back of a police car on I-40 late Monday night by trying repeatedly to crash into the police vehicle. And when she failed, she drove to a garage near the police station and smashed into an unmarked unit instead.
Wow.
26-year-old Tommy Ann Patton faces aggravated assault on a peace officer with a deadly weapon. She faces those charges for the incident. She also blew twice the legal limit on a breathalyzer taken after her arrest, according to a police report, but she has not been charged with a DWI.
Seriously?
Yes. Facing only the aggravated assault on a peace officer with a deadly weapon charge, Patton is being held on a $15,000 cash or surety bond at the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Wow.
And my last little... No, we got a couple more minutes. Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar are back for a new animated Batman movie.
What?
Did you see the trailer yesterday?
No!
It's funny. It'll hit DVD November 1st.
Batman? But we do smell delicious.
The smell of death, Robin, I'm afraid.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes, this is our last meal, Batman.
Then this is one time I would advocate starting with dessert.
I suppose it doesn't matter if we ruin our appetites now.
No, Robin. Dessert is a new Batman film.
Holy spoiler alert! Starring us?
Correct, Robin. We're back this fall at an all-new feature-length animated movie, Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Gosh, he sounds so old.
Sounds like he's been kicking back on Grandma's Kaufman.
Okay.
Well, he sounds... The funny thing is...
Wouldn't it just be his Kaufman?
Now when I hear Adam West, all I think of is Mayor West from Family Guy. Yeah. Like, I don't hear Batman anymore. I think of Mayor West.
But the lines he was delivering were so, so great. Wow, how old do you guys think Adam West is?
Adam West is 75.
Did you look it up this morning?
No. Did I nail it?
You did.
Yeah! Is he 87?
Wow. I nailed it.
Man, Batman's not 87.
He's from Walla Walla, Washington.
Walla Walla, Washington.
And Robin, he has...
Burt Ward.
He loves dogs. He has like 1,000 of them.
He is 71.
You know who knew Adam West? Daniel, DJ Bossman Dan, his old station he worked at in Idaho.
I remember that story.
Adam West used to come in a lot and hang out.
Gosh, he said he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, Julie Newmar is 83.
What is this world?
She was Catwoman.
She was, and she's back. Those three, those three people are back from the original Batman 66 show, and they're doing voices for this. And the animation is totally like it's that Batman. The Caped Crusader.
Man, what's sad is Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler, he died in 2005. Cesar Romero died in 94.
Didn't Batgirl recently pass away? The girl that played Batgirl?
Lee Merriweather, right?
I don't know. I thought she recently passed.
No, that was the other Catwoman, sorry. She's 81. Oh, maybe it was Yvonne. Yeah, it was Yvonne Craig. She died in 2015. Yeah.
We got a live line text. I don't know if it's me, but I can hear every click of the computer mouse.
I know. It drives me nuts, too.
That's hilarious.
Wait, I asked Daniel if you give
this
me a mouse.
This person says they like it.
Really?
Yeah. And the keys of the keyboard. It's not a bother, but as long as I've been listening, it's the first time I'm hearing it.
Oh.
I love it. I hope we can hear more of it. We'll just put a mic right
on. That's funny because I hear it every time.
I like this.
That drives me nuts.
It makes me think we're busy.
We got a busy show today. Very busy. Olympics at 7:30 with Brian Nixon. Jared Leto says he was tricked.
Or did he?
Talk about it. Hang out.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
Good morning.
What's up, y'all?
7:10.
High today of 89 degrees.
How we looking on the road? Traffic.
Oh, man. Looking good. Good. Actually, looking traffic. Traffic.
Live line is open. You can text us at 585-LIVE. 585-5483. 338-3700 is our phone number. Say hi. Contribute to the show. Coming up this morning, we've got a letter. We'll discuss the Olympics with Brian Nixon around 7:30. Did Ryan Lochte and his teammates lie about being robbed at gunpoint? We'll discuss.
I've got a timeline according to the BBC, so... We can discuss it in detail because they're a trusted news outlet. Thanks, British people.
We'll hear from Ryan Lochte on the show this morning. Excuse me.
What? Wait, are you okay?
Got the hiccups.
Whoa.
I'm okay.
I was worried.
Speaking of lies, coming up, we got to talk about Jared Leto.
Yeah. Pretty Little Lies?
Man.
Pretty Little Lies.
Jared Leto?
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite actors.
Well, you might take exception to the latest film that he's been in if you love him so much.
Did you guys ever see Prefontaine?
Nope.
Where he played the runner, the Olympic runner?
Oh, no. I never saw
it. Oh, man. Seriously? Amazing story about, is it Steve Prefontaine?
Yes.
And I think Steve. He was one of the first runners to wear Nike.
Break the sound barrier. Yeah.
And that, too. Yeah.
Broke it.
Really awesome story. Watch the movie, guys.
Mm-hmm. There it is, Prefontaine.
Wow.
Jared Leto's a great actor.
Dude, he was in this Oscar-winning film called Urban Legend back in the day.
No.
With the Clearasil girl and, yeah.
Clearasil.
It's not true at all.
Whatever.
It's not true at all.
No, that's true. Mm-hmm. He really was in that movie.
Being serious right now?
Yeah, dude. Did you never see Urban Legend?
Huh?
Did you never see Urban Legend? It's a really bad movie. Like, remember when it was like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer?
I hate those ones.
And it was like, this is called Urban Legend. And it was the Clearasil girl.
I don't like those.
What's it, Rebecca Gayhart?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 It's like the scary movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't
know. No, it was real. It wasn't comedic in any way, shape, or form. It was like trying to be Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It was all about like...
I'm not going to kill you.
Urban legends.
I'm not going to kill you.
Stop interrupting me, Joker.
Okay. Alrighty. All right. I got this story here. I think you guys will get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say this right now. There's no way this could happen at a hospital in America.
Well...
You take two steps into a hospital, boom, insurance. You got it?
Yep.
See you later if you don't.
Oh, man.
There's a 29-year-old guy in China who's only been identified as Wang. He was at the hospital earlier this month while his wife was about to give birth. And while wandering around the hospital, he happened to wind up near the surgery area. A nurse... took him into an operating room.
Wait, what?
Told him to take off his pants.
No. This is getting
stop it.
Weirder by
the professionals.
Second. Yeah, okay. Have you ever heard our show?
He says he thought she wanted him to see what it would be like for his wife to give birth. So he said, okay, I'll take my pants off. And he just laid down.
Dex.
Well, if that wasn't weird enough, a team of doctors came in and they decided to perform surgery on him. That's right. At this point,
this is not real.
They're performing hemorrhoid surgery on this guy, and he missed the birth of his child because quote my butt hurt so much that I couldn't move.
He's only identified as Ryan Lochte. He can tell some great stories.
Fantastic yeah. Storyteller.
Great storyteller. Well,
here's on the bright side. He did have hemorrhoids, so he got them removed for free. And the hospital even gave him a $750 compensation. Yeah.
This is not real.
It's right here.
No.
It's right here. Yep.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's right here, guys.
I do not believe that story
one bit. Here's a picture of him after surgery.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just lying there. He missed the birth of his child. Excuse me, sir. Could you just take your pants off and lie down?
Yeah, there's no way.
You know what he was thinking, too. He says, yeah, she was going to show me what it was like, you know, what it's like for my wife to give birth. Yeah, right. Sure. Sure, buddy.
That's weird.
That has got to be the oddest story you've ever told on this show.
That's a different kind
and
of
that's
story.
Saying something.
Huh?
Huh?
Real life.
Your real life.
Okay.
Where do you want to go from there, Dex?
I'm not really sure. I had high hopes for that one, and it just crashed and burned. I mean...
What were you hoping we were going to do?
I don't know.
Tell your missing the birth of your child stories because of crazy things.
Do you it feel just like, kind of crashed and burned.
Do you feel like you're the butt of the joke now?
Oh, man.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
There's no way. You think that is that real? Could that story possibly be real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because China?
Because we read the weirdest. Well, like somebody on the live line said, did you guys see what happened to Conor McGregor at the UFC thing?
Huh?
Wasn't he throwing stuff?
What happened? It turned into. Speaking of earlier, we had somebody else on the live line say, did you hear that Alberto Del Rio and Paige got suspended from the WWE 30 days for the wellness policy? And yet, that's turned into a conspiracy theory. These two wrestlers from the WWE who are dating in real life were suspended. Well, allegedly they were suspended because of the wellness policy, which means they've taken either a performance-enhancing drug or a recreational drug. Yet they are the two of the loudest advocates against Brock Lesnar because he was just busted in the UFC for performance-enhancing and drug. Yet he was not suspended from the WWE because they claim, well, he's not a full-time wrestler, so we can't do anything about it. And then all of a sudden, these two are suspended. Conspiracy theories abound. Well, Conor McGregor, who is fired off on John Cena and all these other WWE superstars, all of a sudden sure looked like he was prepping for SummerSlam, man, because, dude, they were, like, throwing stuff. It turned into, like, I can't even show it to my kids because
they
are fans of McGregor, but we can't play it. Dude, he got into, an altercation with Nate Diaz, and of course you knew it was going to happen.
Was this the weigh-in
like,
or something?
This was a press conference. Weigh-ins are what, Friday? But it basically amounts to two grown children throwing water bottles at each other and saying the F word a bunch.
Really?
Yeah, dude. And I'll tell you right now, I'm a fan. I love Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. But this is just, I don't know, man. It's just stupid.
He's kind of always been like that, though.
But childishly throwing things and I don't know.
So Nate finally just walked out of the press conference?
Yeah.
Just got up and left?
Yeah, because Nate.
Well.
Nate Diaz. I know a lot of people here like him, but I'm like,
well, he doesn't have time for that.
He's such a punk. Both of them really are, but
looking forward to that fight on Saturday night.
I hope you have a blast.
Ricky's house.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really good time. It's going to be a good fight card. Wish you guys could make it. Yeah, I decided to continue to not proofread stories.
Yeah.
Because, so I really didn't read that story at all. But I'm kind of disappointed. I thought it'd be a lot better.
Yeah, that was...
Headline is great. A guy waiting for his wife to give birth is accidentally given hemorrhoid surgery. I mean, I think that's going to be great. It's going to be the
huge headline.
Cream of the crop of the show this morning.
Mm-hmm. But
nothing.
Kind of fell flat.
It kind of did.
It's okay.
Because it's so unbelievable.
You're unbelievable, Dex.
Right. Let's jump into some Joker stuff. Jared Leto. He's a Suicide Squad member.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad.
So my son Caleb has seen that movie twice already. I haven't seen it yet. He says it's his favorite movie. He'd go back and watch it over and over again. He loves it. Apparently you guys do too.
I thought it was all right.
I really, really enjoyed it. I posted a video on my Facebook page talking about it. If you want to see what I really thought about it, it's really good.
I can't hear you over itching your mustache.
Just say it.
We posted a video on my. I posted it to my Facebook page of a review that Teo and I did because we were. I was a fan. I was a big fan, actually.
Somebody on the live line, just real quick, back to the Conor McGregor trying to call Steve-O out.
What?
And do you still want to say McGregor's a better person or fighter than Diaz? Steve-O, get out of that double standard world.
Wait, a better person?
Person or a fighter?
Here's what I will say. Because I want to be careful and I want to be honest and I want to be real.
Speechless.
Conor McGregor, I think, is a showman. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came from nowhere and shot to headlining pay-per-views and making millions of dollars. I think a lot of what he does there is an act. I think Nate Diaz is a thug.
You're right. I agree with you 100%.
I think there's a difference. I think one does it for show, and one seriously smokes a lot of weed and doesn't care.
Yeah. No.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yeah. Conor McGregor is a showman. It is an act.
Yeah. So, and yes, dude, McGregor showed up late, and Dana White's like, dude, you gotta respect the press's time, mm-hmm. you gotta respect our time, you need to be on time, and he does need to respect the authority that's placed above him, and so he acted like a jerk, but Conor McGregor's girlfriend was hit with, like, a black tape roll.
Really?
They were Nate Diaz is, like, throwing water bottles, like... It was lame. Mm-hmm. It was lame all around. But what does the UFC expect when they're trying? This is what they're pumping. They want to make tens of millions of dollars at the gate on these thugs and these, quote, showmen who are probably better suited for the WWE because they're performers more than they're fighters. But I'm really hoping that Conor shows up. I really am.
Well, we will see.
I can't say he's a better fighter because he lost to Diaz. So
yeah, there's no.
But
way.
Thank you, Liveline.
Sorry, no way Conor McGregor's going to win.
I hope so. You're 100% correct, Steve-O. Thank you, Gallup, New Mexico.
All right, let's get to the Suicide Squad.
Let's do this because speaking of feeling bullied and lied to, this last week, 30 Seconds to Mars lead singer and Joker, Jared Leto, was at an event. It was a Q&A session at Camp Mars. That's an event that he posted about on Instagram and Twitter, basically for 30 Seconds to Mars fans.
What?
So it was supposed to be for the band, right? And they were doing a Q&A. And of course, people were talking about Suicide Squad because it's number one at the box office. And he was very honest about his thoughts on Suicide Squad. One, he said that he felt tricked into being a part of something that had been pitched to him very differently. I guess according to the report, he thought it would be a more artistic production and was overwhelmed by all the hate regarding the look and the choices. And in fact, he actually says he hasn't even seen the movie because of all of the stuff that he shot that was completely cut from the film. He's barely in the movie.
But if he hasn't seen it, how does he know it's been cut?
Because they told him. Like, and if you go back, you can find it on the internet. All of the scenes that he shot that were cut. He said,
yeah, but how does he know? How does he know it doesn't look great? It could be
amazing.
That's
you are right on that.
He's shouting out saying that, oh, I'm upset and they lied to me or whatever, but he hasn't even seen the film.
I know. He said he shot enough Joker material for an entire Joker film. But when you go back and read David Ayer, the director, and Margot Robbie in an interview, there were a few times they were saying what happened is a lot of the stuff with Joker and Harley was shot in flashback form, but the film is so fast and kind of choppy that it didn't really make sense to keep going backwards when they were trying to progress the story forwards. And so you do have a couple flashback moments to push Harley's story along, but apparently all of his stuff was shot in flashback form, so much so that they just had no place for it in the film, which makes sense. Because it's not a Joker story. It's not necessarily a Harley Quinn story. It's about this whole group. And so if you're trying to push the story forward, it doesn't make sense to keep flashing back for one character unless it's about her. So I haven't seen the footage, so I don't know. But from the director's standpoint, you know, or the studio standpoint anyways, it didn't make sense to them. So they took it out. But of course, he's upset. He feels tricked. My thing is this. He got paid stupid amounts of money. Mm. He didn't get paid per scene that was put in the film. He got paid to do a job, and that was to show up and be the Joker. Yeah, it kind of stinks that a lot of his stuff was cut from the film, but it didn't take anything away from his pay. It didn't take anything away from what he did. And so I have a hard time when people like Jared Leto show up and say, this was supposed to be like this.
Yeah, but you got to look at it. We don't know what it's like to be in his position. He's a well-established actor.
Can I liken it to something?
Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we used to get to do Team Awesome Morning Party and we loved it? And then certain changes were made? Mm. And even though we still got paid the same amount of money, we worked the same hours.
No, you're right.
Our job
was drastically changed. And so I could see where some people would look at us and be like, you can't complain about that. Your job got way easier. And I feel like looking at an actor or a writer or an artist or something and saying, why are they complaining? They made a ton of money.
Yeah.
But the like their investment
the creative
got
side
robbed.
Of it. Yeah.
It got taken out. So I see what he's saying.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're right.
Because when this was just, when we started Star 88, I mean, we both hated coming to do the morning show.
It's because we talked for 7 minutes out of an entire day.
We couldn't be creative with it.
It's very restrictive.
You got to look at an actor like Jared Leto, who was probably pitched this role, and they told him A, but then that all got scrapped.
Yeah.
So I can understand why he's frustrated.
I do understand, but I also think he needs to see the film before he trashes
it. Yeah,
because
I don't know why I hadn't watched it.
Because I thought it was still done well, and if you look at it from a film trying to tell a story standpoint, there are only so many times you can go back in time. I would have loved to have seen more, but I think if anything, all it did was show that we need a Harley Quinn film,
Joker
and I think
movie.
They're already doing it,
Harley
aren't
Quinn
they?
Joker movie. Give me
it's
that.
Been,
one.
It's been rumored that they're going.
I want to address an email we got. Suicide Squad was great. They did such a great job with the characters. Each one was very unique and had depth, especially the Joker, Deadshot, and Harley. I don't understand all of the negative criticism it received. People like to hate on DC for some reason. I agree with that. Any more flashbacks would have ruined the movie. I want to highlight this part of the sentence. People like to hate on DC for some reason. Now I know that who I'm talking to is a comic book person. I was having this discussion with my boy Daniel the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bad argument. People like to hate on DC for some reason.
Yeah.
That hate for DC only goes on in very certain comic book circles.
Yeah.
And this is how I explained it to Daniel. And I could be wrong. So check
coming
it out.
From Marvel people, we
yeah,
are Marvel.
I love
people.
Marvel, but yeah. I also buy a ton of DC comics.
We buy more DC comic books these days than we do Marvel.
But Dex, you have nothing to do with comics. The closest you get to comics are me and Steve-O.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So check this out. Who are the top three superheroes in the world?
I would say Superman, mm-hmm. Spider-Man, and Batman.
Okay. How many of those are DC?
All of them.
No. Do you have anything to do? No.
Two of the
Spider-Man's
three.
Marvel.
Spider-Man's Marvel.
Do you have anything to do with comics at all?
No.
This is why these movies get criticized. It's not a hate on DC thing. It's Superman and Batman are, I think everybody agrees, those are the top two comic book characters of all time.
Amen.
And I would say Spider-Man is number three.
Yeah, I would too.
But just on a general, if you went out, and you showed the Superman symbol, anybody in this world over the age of one
right.
knows that that's Superman.
Yeah.
If right. you show the Batman symbol, same thing.
Yeah.
So whenever I hear people say, it's just people hate DC and Disney pays off, blah, 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 blah. The thing is, these are the most common, the most recognized superheroes
the most iconic.
In the world.
Yeah.
And so what it shows me is if Joe Schmo, who doesn't know anything about comics, goes to see Batman v Superman, goes to see Suicide Squad because Joker's in it and Batman's in it, and then they walk away and they're like, that wasn't that great. What that shows me is that the movie wasn't that great.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
It's not a comic book
I wouldn't have
DC
left,
versus Marvel thing.
I wouldn't have left Batman versus Superman saying, oh, DC failed on that
exactly.
one. Yeah, it was just a bad movie.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think Marvel gets right.
Mm-hmm.
People left. I mean, and think about like Spider-Man when they announced they were doing a new Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, again,
yeah. right?
Again. But then people went to see Civil War, and they were like, man, that new Spider-Man's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It just—it's a reflection on the studio. It's not Marvel versus DC.
Yeah,
they just got to work on it.
585 Live. Feel free to text us when we come back. Brian Nixon is here. We'll talk Olympics when we come back.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
Hey! What's going on in the news today? A roundtable with law enforcement. That's what Donald Trump is up to in New York after shaking up his campaign.
Naming conservative news website Breitbart executive Steve Bannon is campaign CEO. And longtime Republican pollster Kellyanne Conway is campaign manager. At a rally in Ohio, Hillary Clinton said Trump can hire and fire anyone he wants, adding he's still the same man. There is no new Donald Trump.
Two famous faces are among those donating to flood relief. Singer Taylor Swift forking over $1 million. Lady Gaga also opening her wallet. It's unclear how much she gave.
A judge in Brazil is trying to stop two American Olympians from leaving that country, Ryan Lochte and Jimmy Feagan. Authorities want more information about the armed holdup the swimmers reported. Police haven't been able to verify the story, but Lochte's lawyer says it's too late. He's already back here.
Another wildfire burns out of control in Southern California. Officials say the Blue Cut fire in San Bernardino County has destroyed a significant number of homes, and conditions are making it difficult to fight.
Good morning, 7:41. Hello.
High today of 89 degrees.
How are the roads out there, Tail?
Let's take a little look and see at the roads. Not seeing any accidents. Lots of construction incidents all around the city, though, so you guys watch out for those lane shifts and turns and which ways and all that stuff. Have a good commute. That's your look at traffic.
Brian Nixon is here. Good morning, Brian.
Great to be with you, Dex, Steve-O, Mateo. As usual, there's interesting things in the Olympic field.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yes, sir. Man, things are finally starting to heat up down in Rio, right? Huh?
Yes, they are.
It's been pretty, I don't know, it's been a fun Olympics, but I was kind of hoping for some crazier things that
everybody
happened
made it seem like it was just going to be super chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's been a pretty run-of-the-mill Olympics, right?
It has been pretty run-of-the-mill. I think, you know, some of the big news items, obviously, we've discussed, but Michael Phelps and you know, Simone Biles are going to be big news. But I think non-athlete big news is the lack of people in the stadium and stands. Have you guys watched some of these and you're looking at, like, where are all these people? So what that tells me is the organizers are freaking out because you spend so much money,
right?
So much, you know, resources go into this, and then when you don't get any kind of kickback from people showing up, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, gymnastics yesterday, it was empty.
Yeah.
There was barely anybody in there.
It's crazy.
I just saw an article talking about the empty seats and just how insane it is. And the really lame thing about it is, I know Brazil, they went into like crazy debt to do the Olympics, and they were like taking homes from people to build the things. And so now it's like,
now they're going to spend 40 years trying to pay it back off because the people didn't show up. You know, there's been a lot of speculation why so low. The majority has been that the international crowd has not showed up because of the Zika scare. So most of the people are just going to go, you know, it's not worth it for me. I'm going to stay home and watch it from my safe TV.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the other half are saying, well, yeah, that's part of it. But the other part of it is we forget that Brazil is a very, by and large, poor country. Mm-hmm. And your average person cannot afford the hefty price tags of the ticket. So probably a combination of that. And then I bet you, Mateo, you know, springboarding off what you're saying, there's probably those protest folks who are saying, you know what, this is such a catastrophe being built. I'm not going to this. I'm not supporting any of this. But it is made for a very poorly attended Olympics. We're used to, you know, growing up, you're looking at when it's in other countries, you know, it's packed. Mm. You know, not every event, but the main events are just packed and there's excitement. Now you could, like, almost hear crickets, you know, at some of these events.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, 400,000 empty seats.
Wow. That's is that what they're reporting?
Uh-huh.
400,000 empty seats.
The crazy thing, they've sold 88% of the more than 6 million total tickets. But, and it's not that great. But compared to the 2004 games in Athens, that was only 67% of the tickets.
Right.
So in 2004, it was way worse.
But you know what I'm thinking, though? People probably bought them, but didn't show up. Well, you know, it could have been the you know, the folks from around the world who bought them because they were excited and so on and so forth. The Zika scare came, and they said, we're not showing up. So they may have sold the tickets, but they surely, the people have not showed up.
That's true.
But I guess for the promoter, that's cool. It's always like when the band, you know, there's not a ton of people at the show, and you're like, well, that stinks for the band, but the promoter made out like a bandit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
400,000 tickets still up for grabs. Imagine... though, equating it with the band, you're an Olympic athlete and you've trained your entire life to be in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then you show up and it's just empty.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time in the, I mean, you know, let's say the premier athletic events, you know, swimming, obviously, gymnastics, track and field. You know, those tend to be your premier ones.
Yeah.
And those usually, we know, are like packed full of people.
Yeah.
Imagine showing up. And you look around the stadium, and it's not even half full.
Right.
You're just going, man, I worked so hard.
Right.
Granted, they're getting the TV audiences, which, by the way, is lower this year for some reason. So and NBC apparently reported lower viewing.
Well, it's probably because they have it on lockdown.
Yeah. It's one of those situations that it really has been an interesting Olympics. Though, America, I think, is still leading.
We are. Oh, yeah. We picked up nine more medals at the Olympics yesterday, including two golds. So we're now leading the overall medal count with 93 and the gold medal count with 30. And in second place, China with 54 medals, Great Britain with 50 medals, Russia's in fourth place with 41 medals, and in fifth place is Japan with 33 medals.
Wow. Can I just say something, though, on that thing? First of all, kudos to Britain, man. That's a great showing for a small country. So, so congratulations to Great Britain. But, wow, Russia's still in fourth? Didn't half of their whole team get banned?
Yeah.
So they have this small team, and they still are in fourth place.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is pretty good. So kudos to, you know, the Russians that weren't taking drugs.
Yeah. When I was watching the gymnastics, there was only one gymnast from Russia doing the gymnastics, and usually there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was one.
Yeah. And gymnastics, as we know, is one of their premier sports. I mean, they're known, you know, historically as phenomenal gymnasts. Well, you know, but guys, I think the biggest story of last night, well, two big stories. First of all, we've got to give a great shout out to the three ladies who swept the hurdles.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how cool is that? And then to hear their after speech win, or at least two of the gals, they obviously devout Christians, convictional Christians, who were just giving God all the glory. So that was great.
Very cool.
Congratulations for that. But I think the more internationally rocking news is the whole Ryan Lochte swimming escapade. That is strange, guys. Steve-O, give us
strange.
A timeline.
Dude, I've got a crazy, crazy timeline. Thanks to our boys over across the pond for putting this together, because this is how the story emerged. Early Sunday afternoon, 6 or so hours after the swimmers are seen on closed caption TV, USA Today and Fox Sports Australia report that four U.S. athletes were robbed on their way back from partying at Club France, part of the French hospitality area.
Club France, France, lunch mix.
According to the reports, the swimmers got into a taxi from the Olympic Village like 4 a.m.
Oh, 400 hours.
Mr. Lochte gives a vivid account of what happens next to NBC News. We got pulled over in the taxi. These guys come out with a badge, a police badge. No lights, no nothing. Just a police badge. They pull us over. They pull out their guns. They told the other swimmers to get on the ground. They got on the ground. I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong. I'm not getting on the ground.
I'm Ryan Lochte.
Guy pulls out his gun. He cocks it, puts it to my forehead, and says, get down. So I put my hands up, and I'm like, whatever. He took our money. He took my wallet. He left my cell phone. He left my credentials. Okay. So then a spokesperson for the International Olympic Committee tells the press that there's no way anybody was robbed. Then he retracts the statement because he says he received incorrect information from the United States Olympic Committee. Here's the crazy thing. The swimmers didn't even report the incident to the police or the United States Olympic Committee. The officers in Rio only got involved after they saw a TV report. It was never given to the police. Now, you could say, well, maybe they didn't want to tell the police because they were stuck up by the police, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, by this point,
Two of the four have made public statements about the robbery. They post to Instagram. Lochte writes, "While it's true that my teammates and I were the victims of a robbery early Sunday morning, what is most important is that we're safe and unharmed, right?" Somebody else, Mr. Benz, "We're safe. Thanks for the love and support. P.S. The gold medal is safe." All right. At this point, a police official tells the AP that Lochte and Feagan are unable to give basic details and contradicted each other's stories.
Oh, see?
They both said they left the club about 4 a.m. They took a taxi to a station, but according to her account, they went straight from the club to the village, a journey of 30 to 40 minutes, with the robbery happening somehow along the way. Well, there was a closed caption video recorder for when they arrived to the village at 6:56 a.m., nearly 3 hours after they left the club. They look happy in the closed caption video.
They're high-fiving.
In fact, they have to go through a metal detector.
We survived.
They're
yeah.
pulling out what? Wallets? They're pulling out cell phones.
Oh, wait.
Right?
Wait a second.
Pulling things out of their pockets. Well, so here's the deal. Here's the inconsistencies.
Inconsistencies.
He's gonna use this for slow-mo.
Inconsistencies.
Okay, the video. Surveillance footage taken as the team returned to the Olympic Village appears to show the swimmers passing valuables through the metal detector, despite telling police that their items were stolen. Okay, the robbers. Jimmy Feagan says several robbers were there, but that only one had a gun. However, Ryan Lochte told the Brazilian authorities there was only one robber targeting the group.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Lochte initially told U.S. media the robber placed a cocked pistol against his forehead, but in a later interview said that the gun had only been pointed in his general vicinity.
Lies!
Lochte first claimed that the taxi was pulled over, but later said that the car was already stopped at the petrol station when the robber approached the stopped car.
Oh, no.
So many different things.
You're a liar!
Now, part of it could be, one, he's not the most brilliant of people.
That's very true. Yeah. We have seen.
He's got a reality TV show.
Whether it's life or there's swimming, always do your best.
Yeah, that's Ryan Lochte, guys. That's Ryan Lochte not drunk, okay?
Right.
Now imagine 4 a.m. leaving Club France, drunk Lochte, trying to tell the police or anybody or give right. any kind of account of what happened.
All I can see is him just going like,
I'm honestly 50-50 about it because...
Well, hey, let's just find out from Ryan Lochte himself because he's been on hold.
Oh!
Ryan, are you there? Tell us all about it.
There's so much doubt in everyone's mind, so let me clarify some things that came back to me over the last couple of days.
Okay.
I, first of all, remembered our taxi driver's name. It was Kaiser Sose.
Oh.
And he was taking us home from a bar. It was called Ocean's 11. And that's when the fake cops, I saw their badges, Starsky and Hutch, told us to get out spread eagle.
No,
and one of them held a gun to my head and said, "Say hello to my little friend," in some weird accent.
Uh-huh.
And then he took my money, and luckily he was cool enough to let me keep my phone. And we got back in the taxi, and Kaiser Sose told me he couldn't radio for help because the radio was broken because his mean boss, Mr. Brown, Mr. Blue, or Mr. Pink, something like that,
that's
busted the radio.
Dogs.
So we get back to the hotel where you see on the surveillance video that we're all laughing and stuff because we're happy. Then nothing bad happened.
Oh.
Or nothing happened at all, maybe. And then I went to bed, and in the morning I'm walking on the beach, and I thought it was maybe a dream, but it was really Billy Bush, I guess.
Okay.
And I told him this
That's...
story
nope.
and said whatever, and then whatever.
That makes
so,
sense.
So I hope that clarifies. Yeah, That's my story.
And
it's interesting. I'm sticking to it.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Okay. All right. It wasn't confusing at all.
I also apologize because I've been saying, you know, closed caption TV, closed circuit. Sorry, my Ryan Lochte was interfering.
Thanks. Jenner Lochte.
Thank you.
I think these guys are going to be in a lot of trouble. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, and then Liveline points out, why hasn't the taxi driver come out and said anything?
It's because he's dead, bro, because the Rio
because
took him in, dude, and they were like, it's a conspiracy.
Yep.
This is so lame. I think it's... Okay.
I think it's drunk swimmers who are Olympians who talk like this already.
Who are at France's party house.
At France's party house, and they're like,
come on.
On the way back, and they've had way too much to drink, and they're just like with the bros, and they look over and they see the police, and they'd be like, wouldn't it be crazy if like those dudes like robbed us? And it was like, dude, we should totally.
No, I think this is what happened. I think it's a step farther than that. It's like, whoa, dude, like, what if we were walking home? And then we got mugged. That would be crazy. Yeah, I know. And then like they came, they were like, give us that, give us this. And then we were like, oh no. And so we did. And then it was like, yeah, but then we're Olympians, but we're Americans. We'd probably like beat them and punch them. And, oh, hey, it's a metal detector. Here's my watch. My watch. Dude. Okay, yeah. Man, I can't believe we got mugged. That was crazy. I know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Is the oddest and best thing that's come from this year's Olympics.
You know, the only thing I think gives a little bit of street cred to at least Ryan Lochte. Again, I'm giving him no credit for his brains or anything of that nature. But he did report the story to his mother first. So says the news outlets. So apparently he called his mom, and it was mom who put it on Facebook.
That's
and
true.
Then Facebook picked it up, and people started to see. So why would Ryan Lochte lie to his mother?
Well, what you don't know is he was like, yeah, mom, I just need you to send me like $50 because we got mugged.
We got mugged, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
In real life, he was like, I just spent so much money at Club France.
Those French reamed me. Those
but
French
I can't tell my mom.
Me.
I totally spent all my money on...
But I mean, he is a 30-year-old man, and you know he's talking to his mom, and you know to make something up like that to your mom. So maybe what happened is something a combination of the two. Maybe it wasn't a thing to the head. Maybe it was some guy just pointing out. They throw something to him. The guy runs away, and then it blew up from there.
Yeah.
And all these guys now have their own little different versions of it, and so on and so forth. So rather than saying Ryan Lochte is a liar or the Brazilian police are liars, come somewhere in between, because you know what, guys? Mother knows best.
Wow. Look at that. That's why we have Brian Nixon in here. He's smart.
Heck yeah.
He's smarter than us.
Amazing. Well, tomorrow we'll talk again.
Yes, we will.
The Olympics will be over this weekend.
I can't believe it.
We'll hopefully have more details on this crazy Ryan Lochte story.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
My pleasure, gents.
All right, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Morning Invasion.
So we're doing a six-month review.
Yeah, we are.
Every 6 months, you should evaluate yourselves. You should evaluate the show.
Oh, I want to read a couple more emails over here. This one. Teo is the best.
That's real.
Here's another one. Teo is my favorite. Steve-O has become kind of mean, and I feel bad for Dex. You rock, Teo. Thanks. Love the criticism of... I mean, all the support from me.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
Good morning. 8:07.
Hi today, 88.
Sorry, dude.
No, we'll do it live.
Sorry, bruh. The live line threw me off.
Let's take a look at traffic.
Okay.
Traffic.
We have an accident. Unser Boulevard at I-40 at Los Volcanes. What am I saying? Volcanoes? Los Volcanoes. There's an accident.
At the volcanoes.
Also, guys, there's a lot of congestion on 25 southbound when you get on or get off of Paseo. You know about it. We had to experience it the other day. You're down to about 15 miles an hour getting onto the highway. You guys be careful. Watch out for that. That is your look at traffic.
We didn't get a chance to talk about a couple of these things with Brian because we ran out of time. But Michael Phelps, he was getting off off his airplane.
So he's back in the good old US of A?
Yeah. And, the camera crew was there to...
what'd they say?
Have a little interview with Michael Phelps.
Going against straight out to Mark Liberman.
who just is seeing the big man walk himself out that plane. There's Michael Phelps. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, we just wanted to congratulate him. Just walking out. Mike, how does it feel to touch back, though? You're good? What's the first thing you're going to do?
I'm not answering any questions, guys. If you could give me that space while I try to get my family home and safe, I would appreciate that. If you guys want to do an interview, contact my agency. I appreciate you guys coming, but I'm trying to get my family home safe, and that's what matters the most.
Thanks. All right, well, congratulations, though, Michael. Great job. There you have it. The greatest swimmer, greatest Olympian of all time. So pretty exciting stuff, but obviously wants his space right now. Guys, we'll throw it right back to you.
Mark, thank you very much. Some people might say, well, that wasn't very nice, but you got to understand,
absolutely,
this guy gets mobbed probably every day of his life. Every-
no excuse!
You know what? Shout out to that entire news crew who, like, rocked that like champions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they really did.
You know what I'm
they
saying?
They really did.
That was professional. Like, he was like, all right, well, congrats, Michael Phelps, greatest swimmer of all time, guys. It's amazing. All right, we're going to throw it back to you now. That was so well done by him, because that would have been awful.
Yeah.
You got your crew there, your cameraman, you're like waiting. You want to talk to him, and
it's all about being professional. My best friend Stephen Christian. A lot of times when we hang out, you know, he's like, "I'm like, Stephen, I cut out some time for you. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to hang out."
Yeah.
And then he's just kind of like, "Hey, what's your name? What? I gotta go. He'll get a phone call." But it's all about just handling it like a professional. It's like, I get it, man. Yeah. That's why we're best friends. I know you. Mm-hmm. I watch you a lot. I know about your cat. And so I get it. I get it. And you just got to give them a little space, you know?
Love
wait for
you.
That opportune time.
Yeah. Here's okay.
Well said.
Flip side of it. Flip side of it. Because in real life, not crazy, Teo, but real life, Matt.
Teo.
Yeah. We've all had those times where we're in a grocery store or we're somewhere, and to obviously a much, much lesser degree than a Michael Phelps or an actual, quote, celebrity. But there have been times where I'm at the grocery store with my family or I'm doing something, and somebody will come up and it's like, dude, can I get a picture? I love your show. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I have never once been like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to buy some Cheerios. Mm-hmm. Could you just contact this radio station? I'd be happy to talk to you another day.
Different level, though. I understand. Michael Phelps gets, I mean, attacked.
I got that.
He goes.
But that seemed very kind. The camera, the guy, he's coming home, and it's like, hey.
Here's the thing, though. Once you allow, if Michael Phelps would have done an interview with that guy, that's when everybody starts just flooding in. Because
you see the end of like NFL games where it's like everybody's bum rushing the quarterback.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're absolutely right about that. That just stinks because inevitably it's going to tarnish something because not everybody's going to understand and respect that. And they're going to go, Michael Phelps is a jerk.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I think he was holding his baby, had his baby with him. Yeah. You never know. The baby might have been sick. Maybe they just really needed to get out of there. And he knew if he would have stopped for 1 second.
That would have been it.
Yeah, it would have been. Oh, he couldn't have got out of there.
Okay, but on the flip side, I'm playing devil's advocate here. This is a guy whose entire livelihood is banked on sponsorships. Like, he doesn't have a, quote, real job. His job is swimming, right? So his job is to be the best athlete in the world. But in order to get money, his job, his revenue comes through Subway. And so he's a spokesperson literally putting himself out there to the universe like, hey, look at me, buy this product that I'm endorsing. I'm cool. Be like me.
That would be one thing if it was the beginning or maybe middle of his career. But he's at the end of his Olympic career. He's got millions.
He's 31. Yeah. No, I know, but I'm saying he puts himself out there.
Yeah.
He is on a whole different stratosphere of celebrity, but that's like his gig. That's his job, you know? That's part of his job anyways.
I get it. But being
so
with the family
kind of comes with
I think cut him some slack because he was with his little baby and girlfriend and they probably just wanted to get
I'm just
out
playing
there.
The other side.
Yeah, I know. I just think that's probably what
happened. Yeah. If he wasn't with his baby and his girlfriend, it might have been completely different. 338-3700. Good morning.
Hey, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I just had a comment on the Ryan Lochte thing. If you don't mind, I think what it was is that he was just disappointed that he didn't get all the attention because he didn't beat Michael in the gold, and he just wanted a little attention to himself. But, you know, God bless him anyway, man.
Yeah. Right on, man. Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate Thanks for calling it. Me specifically.
Yes.
There's Tiv.
Liveline says, you know what would have made this all better? If Michael Phelps faked that he had gotten robbed and that he wasn't allowed to get on the plane in the first place. I love you, Starmie.
Starmie is so good. Much.
But, yeah, I'm 50-50. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm a parent. I get it. I fully understand. Because there are times at, even I mean, again, very minor micro scale. But, you know, Paradise Hills Little League, we're very locked in there. Our kids play baseball there. And there have been plenty of times where I'm watching my son pitch. I'm watching my kid play baseball. And right in the middle of it, somebody will come and just sit down right next to me and start talking. Oh, dude, this morning, you guys were killing me with the blah, 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 blah. And I've never been like, hey, man, my kid's on the mound and I'm trying to watch my son play baseball right now. Like, I'll still watch my son. Teo knows what I'm talking about.
Well, but here's
He's
the thing.
Been there.
We are only... We can only know what this is via our experience.
Right.
And it's like you're saying, but taking it farther, I've only ever had, at the peak
right.
of anything in my life, I've only ever had to deal with maybe a few people at a time.
Yeah.
We're talking Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
It's not a few people.
No.
He physically can't make time for everybody. Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah.
That was a mob of reporters.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't that one guy and a couple other people. So, like, our experience, our little experience with it can't equate. Yeah. We don't have any window into that. There's no similarity.
Because I think what I'm saying is it's hard because... Whether you are a cameraman, a photographer, what some kind of media, that's still a human being.
Yeah, totally.
And it.
Well, listen. Let's listen to.
And he acknowledged
Michael
him
Phelps.
As human beings.
He does.
Listen to Michael Phelps' response, because to me it sounded like this was kind of scripted in a way where he probably had a game plan when they were on the plane with his girlfriend, and they planned this out because who knows what was going on. But just listen to it again and see.
Okay. What are you gonna do? I'm not answering any questions, guys. If you could give me that space while I try to get my family home and safe, I would appreciate that. If you guys want to do an interview, you can contact my agency. I appreciate you guys coming, but I'm trying to get my family home safe, and that's what matters the most.
Thank you. All right, well, congratulations, though, Michael. Great job. There you have it. The greatest.
Yeah.
Prepared.
He's with his baby and his girlfriend.
For him to have not said anything and kept walking, then I would say he didn't acknowledge them as people. But he did. He said, guys, this is what's important to me. If you want an interview, contact my agency. I'm out.
I don't know. In a way, it does sound very scripted and cold.
It probably was.
I think if I was in that position, I would have been like, hey, man, I'm with my baby and my girlfriend. We're not feeling
And they would
very
be like,
good.
Yeah. That's totally. I just want to ask you how it went. How did it go? How did it go? Just tell us how it went. Just tell us how it went. How did you feel when the blood? And then
you're right. You know what? You
the
are
best
right.
way. The best way is just cold. Like cold.
Yeah.
Like sometimes that's just how you have to deal with situations.
True.
Is to just cut it off cold and deal with the fallout.
Celebrity.
You know who would be an excellent celebrity? That guy.
Yeah, Matt.
He's
would be
really
great.
Good at it.
Taylor would
He's
be
really good at making people feel like human beings as we walk away.
I can't remember it, but no,
I've never been able to like. I'm like weird, and I maybe it's because when I was a kid, like there were those dude. I had a chance to meet this guy, and he was a total jerk, and that's why you should never meet your like heroes because they will totally let you down. And so it was like I can never be. I'm gonna have to just listen to this guy rant about this really lame story for 17 minutes. Oh, this is the worst. Kill me now.
See, that's the thing. But you we'd be terrible at that.
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, and we would get so burnt out
that
we'd end up flipping out and just going crazy.
Because inevitably, Tao's got it right. And Michael Phelps had it right. Because your family is what's most important. Because there have been so many times where I have unintentionally inconvenienced my wife
for the sake of some random stranger who has no boundaries and is just like, oh man, wanting to talk to me right then and there. And I'm like, okay, wife, we're trying to,
let me ask you,
we're going to be late to this movie now.
What does Chrissy do in that situation? Does she stay there or does she, what does she do?
She'll stand there, but if it gets to be like long, like there have been times where she's like had to pull me away.
Because Leslie, the minute somebody comes up, Leslie, she takes off. Yeah, she'll take off.
No.
I'll sit there and, you know, meet whoever, and then I'll look, and my wife is completely gone. Like, she just took off. And so I had a talk with her.
I love your wife.
And
that
I said,
hilarious.
You can't just ditch me.
You're my wingman, yo.
Yeah.
If we need to make a break for it, you're the person.
You got to be there to say, hey, sorry, bud, we got to go.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. But yeah, she just, I think it's that moment of, oh, I can leave now. This is my time. And she just takes off.
Ugh. Gosh.
Leslie.
I just don't think we have any concept.
We don't.
Of what he
we does. Really don't. You're absolutely right.
Because for us, it's very humbling
one at a time.
And it's exciting.
At most, maybe a
it's
couple.
So yeah. Cool when a listener comes up and they're excited about the show and what we do, and I love it because mm-hmm. it doesn't happen very often, you know. And when
right.
it does, it's like, oh, that's so cool. Think about putting yourself in Michael Phelps' shoes, man. He can't go anywhere. There's nowhere that guy can go.
People forget that.
Yeah.
Because people are celebrities, we feel like we have like a stake in their lives. Yeah. And so much, we take ownership over it. You know, it's like it's almost like, hey, you know what? I bought your album. Hey, you know what? I watched your movie. I watched your TV show. Hey, I watched the Olympics and I cheered you on. I have a stake in your life, so you owe this to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You see the jump it takes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't know that person.
Yep.
You had nothing to do with their success.
Yep.
I mean, even if you bought their record, the label got that little bit of money and you probably didn't even pay for it, honestly. All, you know, everybody out here nowadays,
yeah.
You didn't pay for their record.
Right.
You know, it's like we assume ownership in celebrities, and that's where we forget that they're people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where everybody gets offended because you own that person. You own a little bit of that person, and they owe you their time. That's not real.
Yeah, that's
That's
true.
A mental construct. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 585-LIVE, you can text us or call us at 338-3700. Just talking about Michael Phelps getting off an airplane. He got back to the States, and This little news broadcast just wanted to have a little interview with Michael Phelps, and he said, no, sorry.
Everybody's
we
saying
have
they're not going
to so many
they're
people,
not gonna say hello to us in public.
I know.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I agree with this on the flip side. I'm going to continue the devil's advocate role, even though I totally agree with you, too. It wasn't just an ordinary day. He was coming back from the Olympics. Right? Like the end of a Super Bowl, you win the Super Bowl, and of course the media floods the field, mm-hmm. and poor Peyton's out there for an hour and a half stuck talking about winning the Super Bowl with 140,000 reporters because he just won the Super Bowl. You are returning to America from Rio, mm-hmm. and of course, I mean, you know, the media is going to be there to talk to you. So. I get both. You're right, though.
Well, my answer to that is exactly what they said. That's right. It wasn't an ordinary day. He just got back from the Olympics.
Yeah. He just got off a long flight with a baby. It was not disrespectful. He told them his needs. That's from
exactly.
Oklahoma. Thank you, Liveline. Oh, man. Yeah. nope. Yeah, sorry. There was one on the live line. Our girl Becca, she did some stuff with us recently, and I was tractor beamed not long ago, and I was dying a slow, painful death. And so I saw her out front and texted back and said, help. And she came in and totally saved the day on that. Because I'm the worst. I don't know what to do. She's right. That happened to me this last week. And I was just standing there listening to this conversation. And I was just like,
yeah,
dying a slow, painful death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's
because
the thing
I don't know how to get out of anything.
Here's the thing with Steve-O. If you're listening right now and you ever want to go up and meet Steve-O, if he starts to kind of drift away and you can kind of notice that he's not engaged that much anymore, because right, he'll start out all like, his eyes will be all big and he'll be like so happy to meet you. But then after a little period of time, you'll see him drift away. He does it to me all the time. And then I know, oh, I got to just stop and just move on.
Somebody said, I will make sure not to say hello to Steve-O in public. Somebody else said, you don't have to worry about me. If I ever saw you guys in person, I would just creepily stare from a distance. Gosh.
Well.
Somebody else said, I have too much social anxiety to ever walk up to any of you guys. Steve-O knows my wife, and when she introduced me to him a couple years ago, it was just this awkward hi. Come on!
Seriously,
we don't even... Come on.
Eric, really? That backfired, because we didn't want it to sound like we don't want you guys. It's opposite. For me, I love it. I think it's great. It humbles me, and it makes me mm-hmm. very proud of what I do.
Oh, yeah.
And it thank you, because I sometimes feel like maybe there's one person listening, and that's it. So when I get to meet a lot of people
Dex
out there.
Dex loves meeting all of you.
I do. I
all
really
of
enjoy
you go to
but
Dex.
But there are times.
He shops at the Albertsons.
Here's the thing.
On,
I do have social anxiety.
You
so
do.
There are
it's
times.
Great.
There are times, depending on how I feel. I mean, I've really embarrassed myself over the years because somebody will walk up to me and say, Dex, hi. And then I'll look at them and I'll choke up and words can't come out of my mouth. And then I turn around and walk away. Like, that's happened.
Well, and my thing is, I'll talk to anybody, but there might be a time where I don't talk to you super long. But I'll totally talk to you for... If anybody
that's
comes
any
up to me and says
being.
Hello, I'll talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And then the fun stuff is, and this is probably stemming from the Waverly days and then definitely from House of Heroes, but if somebody is weird and they keep talking to me, then I will really talk to you. And then I will weird you out. Yeah. And I'll take care of that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I just choked because I just remembered an actual living example of that, and it was brilliant. I've experienced that before.
Where Teo totally flips the script
on a weirdo and made it even weirder, and then they left. And I was like, that was my favorite thing I've ever experienced in my life. That's the way to do it.
That's awesome.
That's the way to do it.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Coming off quick. Yes, I just wanted to say, I've actually ran into Steve-O three times, and it was all three times it was at the State Fair. It was very professional. Grant, I just said, hey, this is my wife, and this is me. I like your morning show. So,
thank you.
Steve-O was really professional. You're welcome. And then the one time, it was the nighttime. I think you and Joey were filming something for your show. And I passed the hand tattoo thing. I was like, hey, you going to go get your sleeve done? You're like, yeah. And I was like, God, that was such a stupid thing to say. Why did I say that?
Dude, I do that too all the time. I think to myself, man, I am an idiot.
Oh,
why did
dude.
I say that?
No. Okay. I was in the mall once and Chris Benoit. Now, R.I.P. Chris Benoit.
Gosh.
Was at the food court at like Coronado Mall, and it's like, well, that's Chris Benoit. I think he was like the WWE champ at the time. And we ran over there before I thought about like, wait, what do you say to a dude in line to buy tacos? You know what I mean? And I just stared at him awkwardly for a second. He looked over and he's like looking at us, and he's looking at the menu, and he's looking at us because we're not in line. We're clearly just standing in front of him.
Yeah.
And finally he goes, hey guys, how's it going? Yeah. And he just like stuck his hand out, and I was like, hey man, nice to meet you. You're awesome. All right. And then just kind of like walked away, and it was like, yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Yep.
And
so
weird.
The next week.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. No, seriously. Like, it was only like a few weeks later, and then all of a sudden it's like,
he came in on our show. He actually did the morning show with Buck and I.
Oh, gosh.
And then, it was a week later.
Dude.
That horrific.
Oh, man. Oh. All right. Thank you
buddy.
So much for calling.
And no problem. Have a good one.
Don't ever stop coming up and talking to us. It's hilarious.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Steve-O, I got a little comment to make. I was a sky cap at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, and I used to meet a lot of people that, you know, that get bum rushed like that. Anyway, I met a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes!
Wow.
And he was just like, you know, he just like... just like ignoring me. I was like, hey, can I get an autograph? And then I met Mike Tyson, and he was like, hey, how you doing? You know? But some guys are cool about it. But
hey, how are you
guys are cool.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
love you, buddy.
Somebody on the live line said, Steve-O was great to meet in person. Teo, not so much.
Oh!
That's fine.
Come on!
No, that's fine. I probably was doing the weird out thing to that person.
Yeah. That's
the person that I did this thing to.
Yeah, so if you're just joining us, Michael Phelps was basically bum-rushed by a bunch of media when he landed in the good old USND after the Olympics. And his response was like, hey, I'm not answering any questions right now. I'm with my family. Go through my agency if you want to have any. Thank you guys for coming out here today, but I'm not answering any questions. My family's most important. And so what do you think? I mean, do we have a say in his life? I've eaten at Subway before. I feel like I have control of his life, right?
Yeah. All right. We'll read some more text messages. 585-LIVE. Feel free to text us or call us. 338-3700. We'll be right back.
A roundtable with law enforcement, that's what Donald Trump is up to in New York after shaking up his campaign.
Naming conservative news website Breitbart executive Steve Bannon as campaign CEO and longtime Republican pollster Kellyanne Conway is campaign manager. At a rally in Ohio, Hillary Clinton said Trump can hire and fire anyone he wants, adding he's still the same man, there is no new Donald Trump.
Two famous faces are among those donating to flood relief. Singer Taylor Swift forking over $1 million. Lady Gaga also opening her wallet. It's unclear how much she gave.
A judge in Brazil is trying to stop two American Olympians from leaving that country, Ryan Lochte and Jimmy Feagan. Authorities want more information about the armed holdup the swimmers reported. Police haven't been able to verify the story, but Lochte's lawyer says it's too late. He's already back here.
Another wildfire burns out of control in Southern California. Officials say the Blue Cut fire in San Bernardino County has destroyed a significant number of homes, and conditions are making it difficult to fight.
You're nice.
You are.
This rejoin is nice.
Good morning, Starmy. Dex, Steve-O, and Teo. It is 8:36.
I have 89.
Let's take a look at traffic. Earlier, we had an accident to report. Unser Boulevard at I-40 at Los Volcanoes. I-40 West at Carlisle Boulevard. We have an accident. Also, an accident I-25 South at Comanche. You guys be careful out there this morning. A little bit of congestion on 25 southbound once you get off Paseo. That's looking like that's about it. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic! It's Balcano.
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 This was title of record, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh. His brother was the T-1000.
Mm-hmm. Richard Patrick.
Richard Patrick. Oh. His brother Robert Patrick, who is an actor.
And then their cousin Patrick Patrick.
T-1000, dog. Oh, my gosh, that record was so good!
Interviewed those guys a few times. That's right. I did. That's right. Mm-hmm.
You cool story, bro.
Question about it?
No, not really.
Do you want to ask me what I asked him?
I'm going to wait till you're in the grocery store. Ask you in the cereal aisle.
Okay.
You'll get all sweaty and weird.
Yeah, I will. Start sweating. Gosh, I have a sweating problem, man. Hoping once I lose a few pounds, that helps.
Yeah.
Man.
Will it help?
I am pretty excited because I really do feel like...
A new boy?
Like, this is it. I'm going to shed the pound. Now, as far as keeping the pounds off once I get them off... That's a different story. But right now, I'm really focused. I have this, this vision of just losing the weight and feeling healthy and feeling skinny and getting to wear those clothes I haven't been able to fit in.
Did you tell everybody what you did yesterday?
Oh, man. Well,
guys, yesterday, something monumental happened.
We did it!
These two guys poked the bear!
Oh, yeah! Man, you poked the bear!
We did it. Steve-O and I, my wife, she went along
Nate
with
and
us.
Janae Heitzig?
Nate and Janae Heitzig went with us.
Wasn't even necessarily the plan. I was just like, all right, I'll go talk.
Yeah.
I'll go see. We'll go meet. We'll go have work. Well, what am I doing? What am I lifting?
Yeah.
Why am I sweating?
Yep. And it was incredible. Yeah, when Leslie and I pulled into Bear Canyon, we looked at each other and said, do you want to get back in the car and just go?
I honestly didn't think you were going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I did text him.
I was that friend.
I was like, Dex, you got 5 minutes.
And yep. I said, he's not coming, guys.
Yep, we were on our way, and we made it. And
man, I'm so proud of you guys. They did a great job.
Thanks, man.
And shout out to Nate and Janae. They both. Here's the deal, though. If there's one person in this group that's going to be good at CrossFit, it is Janae.
Oh, dude. Nate and I partnered up for the lifts. What was that called? What was that called when we actually had to like lift real weight?
Strict press.
The strict press, right? So first of all, I partnered up with Nate, who's like a foot taller than me.
Yes.
So the bar was like up to my forehead. So I'm like pulling it off the bar.
Did you pick him or did he pick you?
He picked me.
Okay. Just wondering.
Why?
Because you didn't pick me the other day, and I was just wondering.
Oh, my gosh. You were with your wife, dude.
She's not going to be my partner. She wasn't. I was all alone yesterday.
Were you really?
Yeah. I didn't have a partner.
Oh, that would
have
been awesome.
He was over there.
Because me and Nate only had, you know, you had to do two in a minute. But if you have a partner, it's like, I got to do this in really 30 seconds because then my partner's going to need this
bar.
Not
a big deal. I was just wondering. Now, if you would have picked him, I would have been a little butthurt.
I would have picked...
I'm so glad that's the first time that's ever been said on this station.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yes.
Well, you just did.
We did.
I got a dumb button. So,
hey, you know what? I would have. I wanted to pick you because I knew you were gonna lift less weights than us.
Okay, that's a lie. Because did you see what I was lifting?
No, and that's why I'm glad I was with Nate because Nate and I. But at one point, we were across from. I was straight across from Leslie, and then to my left was Janae Heitzig. And me and Nate were trying and we're lifting, and Nate looks at me and he goes, we're lifting less weight than Janae.
Oh, man.
I hate all of this.
But that might not be true.
It was. We're mathematicians. Our bar was only 45 without anything. She had a 22-pound bar and then 15s on each side, which equaled 52 pounds.
She had a 35-pound bar.
Yeah, she had a girl bar.
They said, yeah, it was a girl bar.
Boys are 45 and the girls are 35.
I thought they said 25.
Nope.
So even more so, she was just putting up weight.
Yeah.
I was like, man. But you know what? I just thought it's that mentality. You know, like old school gym mentality. It was like, yeah, I got this. That's not there, thankfully. No. It was just in mine and Nate's brain because we were going, Janae's putting up more weight than us. We have to put up more weight.
No.
You can't do that.
We tried.
You hurt your back.
Yeah, exactly. We tried, and then we're like, we're going to hurt ourselves.
Come on, push it.
And then Matt, the trainer, was like, bro. Here, let's try this instead. All right, is this comfortable? Is this good?
Wait,
okay.
Mark, sorry.
I was looking at you, Matt. You're Matt.
Teo.
Mark was like, let's try this. And I'm like, thank you for caring about my well-being, Mark. Because I'm stubborn and I want to put up more weight than Janae.
We're men. 338-3700.
We're men.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
What's up, dudes? It's Nate and Janae.
There they are.
Oh, snap.
Hey, Janae.
How you guys feeling today? You sore?
Feeling good.
I mean, a little
sore, but not too bad.
Dude.
Yeah, I think that the end thing where we had to roll around on the ball and the little tube thing, that probably saved us from being really sore.
Yep.
Well, what'll save you from being sore is taking your BCAAs and your glutamine.
Right. Of course. Mm. My BCAAs.
Glucosamine?
Speaking of BAs, Janae. You can like do things. You're crazy. I don't like working out with you.
Yeah.
You're
killing it.
You crushed it.
Are you guys gonna go back?
Yeah, we're thinking about doing 3 days a week, doing maybe Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
All right.
What do you do?
Try to go five.
He goes five, guys.
Golly. You are dedicated.
Yeah. I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to do that.
Yeah, you do. You're a pastor. We have plenty of time.
I've got a little home gym. I've got a bench. I've got a weight set, and I've got an elliptical. So I'm going to be doing that most nights. And then on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, when my schedule is a little bit more open, I'll be able to do that in the afternoons at 11:30.
There you go.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. We'll all go together.
Booyah.
We'll all go together.
Yeah, it was fun hanging out with you guys. And I don't know, Janae, I'm thinking you and my wife will either be best friends or probably just hate each other.
Or frenemies.
Because you both are just monsters in the gym. You're very competitive. And, yeah, you guys can lift way more than us, guys. for sure. And yeah, so I don't know, that competitive spirit, you just never know if it's gonna
besties
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, your wife is a beast. Yeah, she's like a lean machine.
She is. She really is.
Dude, it was fun. Janae and I both said the same thing. It was just a blast doing it with you guys. It was just a fun, funny atmosphere.
Yeah.
Janae and I were just both saying, Matt Lott, you're like the most encouraging person ever.
Oh, yeah. He really is.
He is.
Good.
He makes me not hate it.
Yep.
We should get like a special class going and have like a static like a Star 88 army going on.
Yeah, the Starmy.
Get
the Starmy class going.
Oh my gosh, a Starmy class would be so cool.
Oh, dude. I think you're onto something.
Wouldn't that be epic?
Yeah, that would be.
We'll make it happen.
Had a blast.
Love it.
Had a blast yesterday.
Well, we'll see you at the gym.
All right, dude.
All right, man.
Proud of you guys.
Congratulations. You guys poked the bear.
Thank you.
Bye, Janae. Right. Bye, Nate.
Later, guys.
Bye.
Dude,
yeah,
it was fantastic.
Watching Teo, here's a little glimpse of going to the Bear Canyon and watching Teo. You look over at the guy, and he looks like a superhero.
Nate and I just kept going, gosh, dude.
I'm serious, man.
He's doing pull-ups.
Like, after 30 minutes of just this intense workout, you look over, and he's doing
pull-ups
like they're... They're push-ups. Pull-ups. I mean, he's just doing them one after the other. 10 in a row. Oh, my gosh. He's going for 20.
And then he took his shirt off.
Did you see
his abs? Did you see his abs?
Yeah.
He gets sweaty.
Do you oil up?
Or
is that just sweat?
That's just sweat.
I lay down a simple base.
Little baby oil?
Coconut oil.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I sweat a lot.
Well,
overheat.
He took his shirt off. And then at one point, I got really overheated and was like, I have to take my shirt off, but Teo has his shirt off, and it's gonna be awful.
No.
I did it anyways.
Yeah. And then Nate takes his shirt off, and then I said,
and we were looking at Dex going, Dex.
And I took my shirt off, and everybody went, people were vomiting everywhere.
Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. The reason I do that is because I get I overheat.
No, I know. I did too.
The other day when we were at our field day, Glorietta Jordy, he was like, dude, why are you so red? And I was like, because this is me.
Yeah.
This is just how I am.
We've already had 4 Starmy members hit us up on the live line saying, I'm in.
I would love for you guys to come.
Beautiful. Starmy class.
I'm sure the folks at BC will be totally down with it, too. Here's the coolest thing. You guys ready for this? Okay. So
Brad Pitt works out with us.
Yeah, it's me. the thing is, I messaged Amy and Mark and Rebecca, who was not there. And I said, hey, guys, I think some new people are coming with me tomorrow. I think we have like 4 or 5 people are coming. And they were like, oh, okay. And what they did is they went in and they changed the workout for the next day. I might not supposed to be able, or maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm saying this to show the way that they treat people at Bear Canyon. What they did is they went in and they adjusted the workout so that the new people that were coming would be able to scale. And what that is scaling is when you kind of, you tune the workout to fit your needs.
Yeah.
So there's a prescribed weight that you go for, a prescribed movement. And like one of the things was muscle ups, which is where you use the gymnast rings and you have to pull yourself up and then push yourself full extension all the way up. I can do those. I can't string them together, which I'm working on, but I can do those. But not at, like you guys coming, you're not going to be able to do that. It took me like 2.5 years to get that movement down.
I can do
them. And so what they did is they said, if you can't do those, you can do these push ups, which anybody can do a push up.
That's how
much they care about it when new people come.
Yeah.
Is they will go in and they will adjust the workout to that specific person. And they're like that with every single person that comes in. That's why I love Amy and Mark and Joe and Rebecca and all the other coaches.
Yeah, there's
Dylan's gone right now.
There's no need to feel intimidated.
That's the thing.
Because I can understand, because I was that person walking into a CrossFit gym and you see all these things that, you know, if you looked at Matt working out, you'd go, oh man, there's no way I could ever
do that. Well, that's me. Dude,
but you don't do those things when you first start out.
I'm a stick figure, man. Like, I can't. And I always hated gym mentality. So when Teo first moved here, he was doing those like, come on guys, Sean T. What were those called?
Insanity.
Insanity. Ugh! And he'd do them like because we lived together. And so I'd be like, all right. And so I started trying, and I couldn't keep up, obviously, because there was always like, all right, guys, if you can't keep up, just try the Tina the pregnant chick version. And there was seriously this like pregnant lady all like, all right. And I'm like, yeah,
come on, push it.
I'm on par with the pregnant chick. All right, I'm doing it. And so, but I felt better. And my wife was really excited that I was going back because I meant not just physically, but mentally, I feel better. I'm more sharp. I woke up feeling great today. And so, you know, our pastor here, Pastor Skip, he was just talking about our physical well-being, not just our spiritual well-being, but our physical well-being, and how important it is to take care of our vessels that God has given us, right. You know? And so, man,
This is the attitude I don't want. I'll do it if it's free. Mm-hmm. Not happening. This is an investment. You have to think of it that way. You are investing in your well-being.
But what if you don't have any money?
Like, well, okay.
$0.
The first class is always free.
And and what I would say to that as well, not just, and it's obviously not like trying to plug a specific place. We want people to be healthy. I watched this TV show. Granted, it's a TV show. This dude was locked up and had no ability. And whoa, he could do push-ups and sit-ups right there in his bedroom. You know what I mean? And it's like if you can't do that, or you like have crazy anxiety about going somewhere public like that, it doesn't mean that you're excused from being physically fit. My wife walks. Like, she doesn't go to the gym or anything right now, but they're right across the way, there's a school, and she goes and walks the track.
And that's 80%, right? 80% of being healthy and fit is eating.
Yeah.
So the other 20% is actual exercise.
Yeah.
So if you want to be healthy, you just need to get a good diet and stop going to fast food, like me.
Anyway.
I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the people that I'm talking about, Mark and Amy and Joe and Dylan, good people. Like them.
Can I say something else? One something I realized at the gym is I was so encouraged. You know, as men, I don't know as much as like I don't know as much as if you guys feel, excuse me, let me start over. As men, we like to be encouraged. We like to be praised, right? It makes us feel good. Hmm. When somebody told me how good I was, like when I was doing push-ups and they were coming over and they were
great form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just immediately got so
well. That's why there's, and not just with the gym, but with life, like community group. Yeah. That's why having your friends around you to encourage you to be like, dude, excellent job. You're doing a great job here.
That feels good.
I think
good.
That's why the three of us do so well together, because
it's any activity with community.
Absolutely.
That's the central thing about, I think, Christianity and the church, really. Is it supposed to be a community where anyone can come, and then like you get together and you realize, hey, we're all equal feet at the all equal placement at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Thankfully, God loves us, you know, and through Jesus we can have a relationship with Him. But the important part of church, aside from worshiping God, which is the primary function, is being in a community together. Because no, like 10th Avenue North has a song called No Man Is an Island.
Right.
We can't, like, no person, you literally can't be alone in this world. You can't. It's impossible.
Well, and we can't do, and I'm, when I'm all off on my own alone, I have zero, right now anyways, because I'm not used to working out regularly. I don't want to do this. I have no motivation to do it on my own. But because you're like, dude, let's together, you know, as a group, let's, you know, that's gotten me more motivated and okay. All right.
Well, it made me realize when I was getting encouraged and how good that felt, that I need to be doing that to my kids.
Yeah, dude.
You know? Because knowing how it feels so good when somebody, like when Tao would come up to me and be like, man, you look great, you're doing awesome, and it would make me feel really good. Like, oh, man, thanks, man. It just motivated me.
Yeah.
I got to remember to do that to my family, you know?
Yeah.
To constantly be pouring into them and saying, gosh, you are amazing. That is so awesome. Keep it up, you know? And because that's just going to lift their spirits up so high.
Right.
You know?
And it's not, encouragement is not everybody's gift. Mm. And so some people will react negatively to encouragement.
And they'll think, oh, you're just trying to placate me. You know, you're just, you're lying.
Do you think that they, but do you really think they mean that when they say it? When
that's a reflection of how they actually feel about themselves.
Yeah.
Some people will go around and they will be encouraging for encouraging sake, which is superficial and you will see through it. But like I, like with you, I mean, you're actually putting effort into getting healthy, and that's more than 95%
people.
That's more than what most people do. Most people sit at home and say, I could never do that, and they never try anything, and then they get sick, and then they get worse, and they get miserable, and they blame everybody else for it.
Yeah.
But that's a human nature. That, and that's not just physically. That's spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
That's emotionally.
Full on.
It's, that's how we relate to every situation as a human being.
Yeah.
And then that's why we find strength in community.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you realize that you're not the only person going through this, there's a little bit of strength right there.
Right.
Because you are subconsciously and you are metaphorically leaning on someone else.
Yeah.
Yep.
And anytime, just like with a weight, if you're trying to push up a heavy weight, a lot of times if you have a spotter, they can just put their hands on the weight. They can literally put one, like we'll do it sometimes, put your pinky on the bar, and the person picking up the weight will push because the illusion of somebody helping them helps them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
True. Yeah.
Man.
So I don't know. Just something to think about, you know, just to encourage more and, you know, especially our kids because they need that. They need to feel like they can conquer the world.
The live line is blowing up. As far as Nate earlier chiming in and saying, dude, we gotta do this together. So, Teo, will you post all that to our Facebook
page? Yeah, I'll post it all on the Facebook. All the information will be there.
Mm. All right, Starmy, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we got a letter. Someone needs our help.
Ooh!
It's titled, I can't stand one of the checkout guys at my grocery store.
Oh, wow, that sounds biblical.
And I'm tempted to try to get him fired.
Oh my gosh!
That's what it's titled. So we'll discuss it when we come back.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
And we're back.
We are back!
Now, from the Summer Games in Rio.
We are live from Rio right now, where the United States is doing really well with the most golds and the most medals. You probably know about that one athlete now who broke his leg in competition, but what they didn't report is somebody made off with his leg, and there's now a massive leg hunt on now. They found a clue. It was a footprint, just one footprint. Also, I may have the Zika virus if one of the symptoms is worms.
Amazing.
Good morning, Starmy. It is 9:06.
High today of 89 degrees.
Road's still giving us some issues out there.
Let's take a look. Yeah, we have a bad accident left lane, and two right lanes are blocked. Good grief. I-40 West at Carlisle. It's a multi-car wreck with cars and rescue blocking left and two right lanes. So traffic is starting to get stacked all around that accident. Also, an accident. The shoulder's blocked across the road there. I-40 East at Carlisle. And we've got an accident. A disabled truck. The right lane is blocked. I-25 South at San Antonio. It's right up the road. It's a stalled cement mixer.
Mm.
Blocking the right exit lane at San Antonio. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
585 Live. That's our live line number.
Feel
free to text us.
Live.
Nate Heitzig.
And the Stewed.
What's up, man?
What's up, y'all?
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Just feeling fit.
Dude.
Not really.
Fit as can be.
Not yet.
Fit as a fiddle. What does that even mean, fit as a fiddle? Why do people say a fiddle?
A fiddle is very...
That's a really good question, actually.
Very.
Is it because it has, like, the curves?
That's true.
Maybe, yeah.
And it's strung well?
Yeah.
It's what? I feel like fiddles are really fragile.
Yeah,
they should be. Mm. Didn't your dad know somebody with, like, a Stradivarius or something like
that? No, he always tells that story about, like, in the hands of the maker.
Yeah, those things... Very fragile.
Dude, there's a music store in town that's like a world renowned music store that they have like Stradivarius.
No way.
And I guess my dad goes in this particular store to get his stand up bass fixed sometimes.
Wow.
And he says at any given time, musicians from across the world, like world renowned musicians, send their instruments in there to get fixed. Huh. And there's like millions of dollars worth of instruments at this store.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Those things are like every little detail just crafted.
Wanted to say thanks for that great trip up to Glorieta.
Dude, that was fun.
That was a great time.
That was good.
I had a lot of anxiety about the trip because I'm very like socially awkward.
He's weird, bro.
I had the best time. It really was like hanging out with a big family and just worshiping and just getting this amazing message.
Josh did a great job.
I felt like it was definitely pointed at me.
I think everybody felt like that.
Probably.
Oh, I didn't.
But for me, I definitely am I'm physically not okay.
Yeah.
I had kidney stones a few days ago.
That's because you
chest
eat
hurts.
Junk, man.
I eat junk. I eat fast food. And I need to wake up
and
do something about it because I want to be here for my family. I want to be there to see my grandchildren, you know? I won't make it to see them if I don't do something now.
I don't know. Caleb's in high school.
Even
you
that,
may make it.
The big thing my dad always says is you might make it to see them, but it's not about quantity of life. Yeah. It's about quality of life.
Yeah.
You might live till you're 80, but you'll be in a nursing home.
I'm not taking care of you.
Someone changing my diaper.
It's all about quality of life. Like when you're older, when you get to your older years, how do you want to live? Like, do you want to be independent? Do you want to be able to still go on walks? You know, do you want to still be able to travel? People always say, I want to travel when I'm older. Well, man, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be traveling when you're older. You're going to be sitting in a nursing home.
Yeah.
You know, so like quality of life is important. It's a huge deal. And honestly, diet's the number one factor there.
Mm-hmm.
Like working out's important if you want to like feel like, you know, energized. But diet is really, that's the most important thing.
That's the hardest.
And it's not just about even, you know, even your weight. It's about honestly everything. Your mental faculties function better when you're dieting well.
And
you
water?
Have more energy. Energy,
we're talking about water.
You're happier, yeah.
Water is so important, man. Just from drinking the right amount of water that we need to consume every day, it will change your life and how you feel.
You know, the biggest thing I notice when I diet is sleep patterns and lethargy. When you're not dieting well, your sleep patterns get messed up. You don't sleep as well, and you wake up even if you've slept for a long time feeling lethargic and feeling tired. When you're dieting well, you're going to sleep really well. You'll sleep through the night, and you'll wake up with more energy and energy throughout the day because you're eating properly. That's the biggest.
Speaking of eating properly, Nate, I wish you had a bigger tub of protein.
Dude, it's actually not that big. You know,
that is giant.
It's like
what are you talking about?
It's like really?
That's not like a medium.
Oh my god!
And realistically, because a good diet, you're gonna want to do in 5 to 6
it's
meals a day.
It's hilariously huge.
And these are meals, and if you're in a big diet, you'll go through this in a couple weeks.
I don't even want to know what that cost. Let me see this.
It's not bad. You can get this stuff at Costco for, you know, dirt cheap.
I'm sorry, where?
Yeah. You can get it at any of those big bargain stores.
Yeah. Glorieta, let's go back to the
so stupid
the, nah. What we did other than, you know, the worship.
Get it
the,
at Fosco.
We played Gator Ball. When are we going to have our first ever Gator Ball tournament?
Like in the Green Belt?
Why is there not an Albuquerque Gator Ball League?
Because I think Gator Ball is something that the student ministry has made up.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's too good to credit the student ministry.
So much fun.
It's too good for that.
So much
Kelly
fun.
Kelly gets none credit. We're not giving that guy any credit for anything.
I want to play. Oh, my gosh. That was just a blast.
It was.
Man, that was fun.
So I have a question.
I think it'd be fun with a bigger goal, too, like a real goal.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Oh, man. You'd have to play goalie though because we need like a big.
What if you
did a great job?
What if you made the goal huge, but you had two goalies?
Ooh,
that'd be hard.
Wow,
it would be hard. It would take intense
because you'd have to coordinate. Like,
yes.
Oh man, that's like
it would be like another cool. Yeah. Feature of Gator Ball. Yeah.
What if we just continued to add little things to it?
I know, right?
Until it became like what was that? was it in Parks and Rec where that chick's husband made up that fantasy like Dungeons and Dragons type game?
Yes,
and it had all these different rules. Yeah. What was that
the
game
Knights
called?
Of Dunshire.
Yes,
or like that.
Yes.
Oh man,
but no, the cones of Dunshire.
Cones of Dunshire. Yeah. Gosh, that was.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in and you don't know what Gator
You've
Ball is,
you've never seen that show.
I've never seen that show.
You're a horrible human.
Gator Ball is soccer, but there's a little twist with it. It's not as, because I don't like soccer, really.
What?
I'm not a big fan. But with this little twist, I love it.
Yeah, if the ball pops in the air, and it can't, not on a bounce, it has to actually, like, if it's popped in the air, you can catch it. And then it becomes almost like a rugby meets ultimate frisbee type thing where you can take a step or two and then pass it.
Yeah.
I had so much fun.
It was a blast.
Because there's no way I could kick the ball into the net. I mean, that's just, I go to kick the ball, and it'll go the opposite
The only
direction.
Way it could be more fun is if there is some way to tie in tackling into it.
Oh, man.
That would be the only way to be more fun. If there is some, some way to tie in tackling.
It's called playing with Janae. At one point in the game, I was leveled like eating grass, and I kind of like turned sideways, and she was on top of me growling.
Well, that's what I... And that's like, what I. That's so what I
get,
like about
get this wife off of me.
That's what I like about the soccer aspect of it because you can slide tackle.
Yeah. I had grass stains all over my pants.
I slide tackled Dex.
Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't mean to. I was just going for the ball.
That's true.
But I slid tackled Dex.
It was great. We had a lot of fun.
There were a few times where I was thinking I'm going to go for it. Wait, no, I'm not because I'm going to either hurt that person or myself, and it's not going
to
be good.
There was one point where I jumped up to block Janae from catching a ball. And I had to stop because I thought, if I fall on top of her and she gets hurt, then I'll lose my job.
Yeah, right, dude. There was I
you know, first game, I wanted to brag, scored 3 goals.
I would have scored 4. I went to shoot the ball because I had it in my hands, and out of nowhere, she like climbed over the top of my back and like blocked the ball. Yeah. She was everywhere.
You know, I was playing goalie, and I, obviously I'm extremely competitive, and I wanted to block as many as I could. But whenever Janae got close, like even more, I'm like, I will not let my wife score on me.
Yeah. But you let Dex score on you, so
I didn't want to say it, but I did. I did score on that,
dude. That makes it hard. Like if you don't play with strategy in Gator Ball, because
no, for real,
because it, you
I was
know,
getting so frustrated.
I was getting frustrated too because they're getting to the end zone, and when you can pass the ball and throw the ball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's literally, unless I have defenders down there, no possible way I can block it from going in when you're playing like that because it's just you can't do it.
So in soccer, how many people are on are out there playing? In soccer?
I don't know. Arbiter, pick a number.
Seven.
Sure.
You guys don't know?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not.
I was wondering if
I never played soccer
because there was a lot of people out there and it was fun, but
it was times, it got to be too many.
It was crowded. Yeah, you know. So I wonder if.
Yeah. We're going to start a Gator Ball League.
Dude, no, because when I was, and I was saying this on the bus or something on the way back, when I was a kid, all the churches in my town in Tupelo had softball teams and basketball teams and baseball teams. Yeah. What if Gator Ball, like every church here in town had a Gator Ball team?
Dude.
And we all played each other. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
Dude, but then you'd have a war of the spirit and the flesh. What team would you play for?
No, it doesn't have to be a war.
By the way, it's 11 players each team. Each team has 11 players at a time.
On soccer?
Yeah, there's the the goalkeeper.
So we were
so 10 and the goalkeeper.
That was what we had.
Yeah, but our field was not nearly.
Yeah, we had small goal, small field.
Small goal, small field.
You're on a full-size soccer field?
Yeah. Oh, much different.
In college.
I wonder if we could get this in the Olympics.
Hey, we had a real question.
They have badminton.
Yeah, they have terrible, terrible ones. But
every year I keep hearing that. I guess there's table tennis now in the Olympics.
Oh yeah.
That's dumb.
What? Have you watched it?
I don't want to watch it.
No, you need to watch it. Like, it's amazing.
But my question is, where does it end? Like, then they add, like, do they have foosball in the Olympics? Do they have pool? Do they have pool in the Olympics? Mm. Like, once they add pool, like, how
darts?
Like, when does cornhole go into the
beer
Olympics?
Beer pong.
I love cornhole. Do you have cornhole?
It's like, I love cornhole. Dude. But Olympic cornhole would have to be much different.
It would be so far away, and you'd have
Dale
to, like,
and I are actually
shot put it.
I don't want to brag.
Did you hear,
pretty great
did
at
you
cornhole.
See, did you see Bill Murray's Olympic tweet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we've talked about it.
About
the average
guy.
Show.
About the normal, yeah.
About the normal guy. That's where I came from. That's where I said that from.
I agree with that. I want
to
see.
If you add a normal human being to every Olympic event to just showcase, like, what...
I want to see
incredible those.
I want to see. I want to see Dex do the 10 meter platform dive.
Oh, yeah. Do you want all of the water out of the pool? Because that's what would happen. Because
I find my critique like you have this little Asian girl doing a dive and off the 10 meter platform. Like, oh my gosh, she splashed so much.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Send her back to North Korea.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I felt really gratified seeing that North Korean girl go home last night.
Oh, my gosh, America,
right.
Man.
That's right, Kim Jong.
Yeah.
She's probably going to get executed when she gets home.
My wife said that. Nate, my wife said that. We were watching the Olympics the other night, and we're watching gymnastics, and there was a girl from Japan, and she fell, and my wife goes, oh, they're going to kill her family now. And my kids are right there.
Japan?
Like,
North Korea. North Korea, there's a serious risk. Kim Jong's sitting there watching that. Who's that girl?
Japan, they fall on their own sword. It's totally different.
Oh, my gosh. We are...
We're falling on our own sword, man.
Sword of the Spirit, yeah. Am I right? So speaking
they
of...
They just come in at the end and kamikaze all the other athletes.
I have a real question. I'll derail us with a real
mid-dive.
Question.
Mid-dive.
We were talking with a friend yesterday because we were talking...
Falcon.
It was after we all went to Bear Canyon. And, of course, I was still like in gym clothes. I was still in my gym clothes. And she was like, why are you guys doing this? And I was like, well, Matt's been doing this forever. And, you know, we had a really cool challenge this week at work and blah, 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 blah. We're talking about physical well-being, spiritual well-being, blah, blah, blah. She's a friend of ours and wasn't a believer. Sitting there smoking.
Which actually, high cholesterol in cigarettes and tobacco.
Dude, right? And it was, well, here's my confusing question then, because I thought for Christians, the end goal was like heaven, so wouldn't it be better because you can get there quicker? Like, I don't understand, you know? And we started going into like, you know, those end years of our lives, but she legitimately was like, but why does it matter if like this is just a vapor? Like, if this is just a moment... And it's about eternity. Shouldn't you guys care more about like spiritual matters than physical well-being? And I was like, well, you know, we talked back and forth, but we've had a few, like, I don't want to say skeptics, but people chiming in and saying, why care about your physical well-being? Yeah. So why should we care about our physical
well-being? Well, I think, man, it's making sure that the way I put it is making sure that you're the best tool that you can be in the master's
hand. Oh, I am
hand.
The best tool here.
Am
I right?
Stop it.
You know, I think that when we come down to this mentality of, man, we want to be used by God,
yeah.
It's like, well, how well can you be used by God? Like, man, if you hit a place where you have a tough time walking, you know, to the restroom and you're winded when you get back, you know, there comes a point when you've got to decide, man, how effective am I in the master's hand right now? And not even working out, just dieting. Think about it. Like, if you hit a wall every day at 1 o'clock where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. And the next 4 hours, you're no use. You're not profitable in your job, or if you're in ministry, think about how much energy and opportunity God's given you that you're wasting because you're not healthy.
You nailed it. That's how I feel the time.
And even within that, my dad talks about an addiction. Man, food is an addiction. Like, you tell somebody who's been eating cheese their whole life to stop eating cheese, they'll have an emotional breakdown.
I had a moment with your dad on Tuesday.
And it's so
Tuesday
hypocritical
that. Yeah. That
these Christians say, you know, man, stop smoking. Well, why should you stop smoking? Well, because it causes cancer. Okay, eating the way that you're eating is going to cause heart disease, is going to cause stroke, is going to cause heart attacks. So, maybe that's worse than smoking, eating the way that you're eating.
Yeah.
And so
does that mean
becomes,
I'll stop eating mozzarella, but I can pick up smoking?
No, but it becomes highly hypocritical for Christians
really,
to criticize drug addicts and criticize smokers and criticize alcoholics when, man, they're eating like a cow and they're killing their bodies. They're destroying their bodies, and they're going to take off more years of their life than even a smoker would.
Man.
You know, so it becomes one of those things where it really goes to that level where eating healthy it's about your witness. It's about your witness to a community. It's about your work ethic. It's about your use and your aptitude in ministry and making sure that you can prolong the time that you have in ministry for as long as possible.
Yeah, because I like what you said earlier, too. You know, you don't want to get to your 50s, 60s, or 70s, and then you just can't move.
Yeah.
You're just drooling. You don't want to leave the bed.
Think about Billy Graham. Like, Billy Graham was effective in ministry, you know, all the way up. And I mean, he even recently has done those My Hope America videos, but he was preaching at evangelist crusades, you know, well into his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at that, imagine if he would have, you know, not cared for his body, not cared for his physical well-being, and he would have been pulled out of the ministry at 50.
Mm.
Think about how many souls were saved in that 20-year period from 50 to 70. And think about, imagine if those souls wouldn't have been saved because he wasn't healthy and he didn't care for his body.
Yeah.
Well, literally, I mean, when you think about it in the terms of souls, man, simply by being healthy, if he wouldn't have been healthy, he could have deprived people from going to heaven.
Mm.
Like, that's a heavy weight to think that, man, being healthy could physically impact the weight of ministry and people going to heaven.
Yeah.
Because we as Christians are called to be preachers of the gospel and to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so if that's our task and that's our mandate, I want to make sure that I can do that effectively for as long as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Nate Heitzig hanging out with us.
Dang, dude.
That's really...
That was good. That was really, really
Gotta
good.
Gotta lose this weight, guys.
I was just trying to bring it back around after the whole North Korea thing.
The biggest thing is consistency. Like, you know, and That's where my dad said it's a lifestyle change. Like, mm-hmm. right now we're doing a 90-day challenge, but you can't put yourself, say it's 90 days. That's when it becomes an issue, and that's what so many – the problem with America today is diet. So I'm going to go mm-hmm. on a diet until I lose this amount of weight, or I'm going to go on a diet for this many days. It's got to be coming on your mind, this is going to be my new lifestyle. I'm doing a lifestyle change. This is how I'm going to live. And that's the hardest part for people to do.
Speaking of lifestyle changes, can I mention this? Yesterday, we went...
Even a cheat day. Cheat days are terrible, by the way.
No, I know. Of course.
Never do a
terrible
cheat day, because you wait for... You're like, okay, on this day, I get to eat. I get to eat really well. On this day, I get to eat whatever I want. You're literally setting yourself up to fail. Mm. You're giving yourself a day to fail.
Yesterday, we went and worked out. And then afterwards, I was thinking... Oh, yeah, we are so close to Charmander Park. And I look at you and I'm like, man. Hey, Pokemon friend. Oh, and you say, oh, dude, yeah, I totally don't have that right now. I Pokemon! Yeah, yeah, he got rid of it. And I'm like, what?
Nate got rid of
what?
Pokemon
he's
Go.
Like, he's like, well, dude, can I talk about
Go.
This? Can
yeah.
I talk about
yeah.
this? Yeah.
What happened?
And then all of a sudden I got like the challenge in the face and I'm like, oh, that's terrible. I'm la 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 la. And then I went straight to Charmander Park and I got one. I got one for the first time. I was so
Dude,
excited.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks, man. However, you're not only did we go like CrossFitted up yesterday, but you were taking a step away from like media.
You know, it's funny, and I want to say it's a super spiritual reason, but it's not. We were in New York and we went to the Broadway musical Matilda.
How's that?
It was phenomenal. We went to New York. We said, hey, what's the best Broadway play we should go to? And we asked the receptionist. She said, go to that one. So we went and got tickets. But if you've seen the movie Matilda, you know, it's about this girl who yeah. loves to read, and her parents say, why don't you be like a normal kid and just watch TV? And so it was all this TV-based thing, and I left it feeling really convicted. I was like, man, like, my kids watch a lot of TV.
Yep.
I watch a ton of TV. Like, when I get home instinctually, I'm like, okay, what shows can I watch?
Yeah.
Like, what's on Netflix?
Yep.
And my life becomes glued to a screen to where I'm at work, I'm driving around my car, Pokemon Go,
yeah.
checking Facebook, checking Instagram, I'm on a screen there. Then I get home and watching TV, sometimes doing that stuff while I'm watching TV, and it's like, man... Imagine what I could accomplish in my life if I wasn't glued to a screen.
Yeah.
So I decided to take a 30-day fast, and it might go longer, but a 30-day fast from screens. So no TV. I'll only use my phone for email, texting, and phone calls.
Yeah.
No social media, no video games, no Netflix.
Wow.
Just a 30-day fast from screens.
How far in?
Like 2 days into it.
How do you feel?
It feels good, but it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, how hard was it to like not... It's, when I turn my phone on, I instinctually, it's like, I know where Instagram is.
That's where I realize it's a habit.
Did you catch yourself a few times?
Yeah. So it's like, I'll find, like, I'm checking a text message or email, doing stuff that I need to do, it's okay to do. And then as I'm exiting now, I just instinctually want to go to Instagram and hit
yeah.
Instagram.
Yep.
And I've caught myself a couple times where I hit it, I'm like, oh, and I, like, shut my phone off.
Same.
I'm like, man,
yeah.
it's an addiction.
Yeah,
it really is an addiction. Yep. And they say that it fires off the same synapses in your brain that pornography or drugs does.
Mm-hmm.
That it releases that same where it really is an addiction.
That's why I call Pokemon Go cocaine, bro.
So man,
that cocaine.
Like, I want to – you know, it's not just food for me. If there's anything in your life that you just become kind of addicted to and you rely on.
Yeah.
And I realized that, man, I got home and I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I can't watch TV. And I get like this nervous feeling. It's like, man – there's something really wrong with that. Like,
yeah,
there's something
yeah.
that, you know, we talk about these things that cannot, it's not a bad thing. It can be a good desire that can become an idolatrous desire.
Right.
And that's what I feel like screens are for our generation, our culture.
That's how I am with my family. So I'm actually taking a 30-day fast from my family.
Oh,
staying
dude.
On Dex's couch.
No.
Good.
Just solid.
Wait,
you know?
Before you started, though, you guys finished Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, good.
But we're partway
make
through.
Sure.
There's that new HBO show, like The Night Of or The
oh,
Night
yeah,
After.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
about,
really good.
We started watching that, and we're like, oh my gosh. And we started watching another show that it's not as wholesome or encouraging, so I'm not going to mention that one.
Right,
but we're in the middle of a few shows right now. And
so
we're
you
like,
just have
man,
to
gotta take a little break.
Off.
And the thing
cool.
is, they'll
That's
be
really
there.
Cool.
They'll be there.
That's it.
Later,
like even
yeah.
for me, even news. Like I was like, man, I can justify and say, well, I'm going to watch the news each night. But even the way that the media prepares news, they prepare it where it's like it's juicy,
it's advertising.
And it's like it gets done, and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to wait till the commercial break because they said they're going to talk about this next story, and I got to hear it. So I've resorted to I want to read the paper, or like I'll read USA Today or Wall Street Journal on my phone
mm-hmm.
If I want to get caught up on the news to stay aware of current events.
Sure. Yeah,
so things like that, because I just realized you know, media, it can just be, it can be addictive, man.
Yeah. Totally.
Why'd you have to come in today, Nate?
Come on. That's so funny because some people are like, dude, Liveline, I want to say I absolutely love all this healthy motivational talk. You guys should make this a Thursday thing, Healthy Thursdays. Wouldn't it be like
Healthy Thursday?
Healthy Hump Day, and we do it on Wednesdays? And then it'd be like.
I guess.
Well.
Ooh, somebody wanted to know what your take is on fat pastors, but sadly we're out of time.
Man, I think it's hypocritical. I honestly do.
Yeah, no, full on. Mm.
I think if a pastor's going to get up there and preach against tobacco or preach against drugs or preach against sex, but he's, you know, eating, you know,
just 6,000
calories a day, that's hypocritical,
you
man.
You just offended the entire state of Mississippi.
Oh, man.
Everybody. Well,
sorry, guys.
But don't ever catch you, so it's all good.
Yeah,
like if they come after you, you can just walk at a brisk pace. And
well
like,
spoken today, Nate.
You know, I think there's a big part of this. It's white-collar sins is what I call it.
Absolutely.
You have white-collar crimes, tax evasion, but you'll go to prison for just as long for tax evasion as you would for drug trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Christians have these white-collar sins, things like not tithing, things like gluttony, things like gossip.
Dude, there's your series right there.
We're actually talking about doing that in the new year. But white-collar sins, man, it's a huge thing. These things that people...
Oh, man, that would be...
They excuse. Is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow.
Nate Heitzik, everybody. Thanks for coming in and saying hi.
Yeah.
Talking to us.
Always fun.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Tao.
Hey!
What's going on in the news today?
A roundtable with law enforcement, that's what Donald Trump is up to in New York after shaking up his campaign.
Naming conservative news website Breitbart executive Steve Bannon is campaign CEO, and longtime Republican pollster Kellyanne Conway is campaign manager. At a rally in Ohio, Hillary Clinton said Trump can hire and fire anyone he wants, adding he's still the same man, there is no new Donald Trump.
Two famous faces are among those donating to flood relief. Singer Taylor Swift forking over $1 million. Lady Gaga also opening her wallet. It's unclear how much she gave.
A judge in Brazil is trying to stop two American Olympians from leaving that country, Ryan Lochte and Jimmy Feagan. Authorities want more information about the armed holdup the swimmers reported. Police haven't been able to verify the story, but Lochte's lawyer says it's too late. He's already back here.
Another wildfire burns out of control in Southern California. Officials say the Blue Cut fire in San Bernardino County has destroyed a significant number of homes, and conditions are making it difficult to fight.
Crazy. 9:35.
I had a day of 89 degrees. Take a look at the road.
Traffic.
It looks like that accident that was on 40 westbound has been cleared, but traffic's still moving slowly down to about 60 miles an hour around Carlisle. Yes, Dex and computer. Also, there's a disabled truck. The right lane is blocked. I-25 south at San Antonio. It's a stalled cement mixer. And it's moving about as fast as cement dries. Am I right? No, I'm not, because it's faster than that. You guys be careful. That's your other traffic.
Traffic!
Good morning, Starmie. Good to see you out there listening. 585 Live. Feel free to text us. We'd love hearing from you. Contribute to the show. Be a part of the show with us. It's beautiful.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Rudolph
wrote in. All right, here is what it says. I can't stand one of the checkout guys at my grocery store because he's mean to customers in a weird passive-aggressive way. Mm-hmm. But somehow I always end up in his line. For example, the other day he was working the express line, and when I started putting stuff on the conveyor belt, he made a comment under his breath that I was pushing the limit. I probably had 13 items. Then when two other people got in line behind me, he stopped running my items through, glared at them, and said, "Well, I guess everyone is choosing my line today."
Whoa.
It's like that every time I go. People have figured out how nasty he is, so he always has the shortest line, which is why I always choose it. But then I can't stand how unpleasant he is.
Mm-hmm.
Question, should I tell the manager what a jerk this guy is? I know how hard it is to find a job right now, so I don't want to get him fired. But on the other hand, there's a lot of other people who would be glad to have his job. That's a good point. 585 Live, feel free to chime in, or you can call us at 338-3700.
this is actually way more difficult to answer than I was initially thinking. Mm-hmm. Because there's the two sides aspect, kind of like when we were talking about Michael Phelps earlier. Because my immediate instinct is absolutely talk to the manager. That dude has a job. He has a responsibility from a managerial standpoint. He represents the company. I have, excuse me, multiple. There are multiple places that that my family frequents that there are certain checkout people that I just know don't go to that person's line. Because I've had those encounters before. And it's like, dude, how can you, why are you here? Like, what, why are you wasting oxygen in this building if you hate your life so much as you're working at Walmart? Do you know what I mean? Like, how bad is life really? And then the compassion side kicks in and it's like, well, we don't know what they're going through. What if that person just had one really bad day? Mm. What if that person just found out horrific news, but they have to pay a bill so they can't just take off work and they're dealing with a tragedy in life? What if their what if a spouse left them and this is all they've got right now, but and they're trying? But from this letter, it sounds like this dude's genuinely always a jerk. Like always. Like, and multiple times, this isn't a one-time.
Why too is he working in customer service?
Huh? Right. Like, why are you, that's your, literally your job.
That's what I don't get about school teachers. Because we've all had that school teacher that
like
just
seemingly
awful.
Hates children.
Yeah, hates children. And you're sitting there going, why, what made you want to get into this? Because it can't be for the money.
Right.
Because you're not making very much money. We know that with teaching. So why would you go into this field? And, but here's my thought. Maybe that's just their personality.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? Which, to us, is terrible.
Yeah, why would
but
you?
But sometimes that, I kind of feel like that's their personality.
And that could be true. That's a good point. But then it's kind of like, why would the boss hire somebody? Well, I mean, but you can always fool people in interviews, you know, if you know how to swing.
Oh, that's
you can
true.
Always, you can fool people into thinking that you're doing great.
That's true. And then over a period of time, if you're at a job you don't really care about, you don't enjoy, mm-hmm. you start to feel, you know, you just feel
unappreciated.
Yeah, unappreciated.
Walked on.
I'm not making enough money, and this is, I don't even want to work here. And then you start to just take your job for granted until you get fired. And then you realize, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to feed my family? But I don't know. Maybe somebody just needs to call this person out and say, "Are you okay?" Because I've come into this store quite a few times, and every time I come in, it seems like there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you need to approach it.
Liveline reflects that, bro. Maybe tell the manager to deal with the attitude. Just don't be super exaggerated and aim to get him fired. If he gets enough complaints, he'll get dealt with.
Yeah,
yep.
That's true.
Yeah, because I have a hard time. I feel like I'm a friendly dude, right? And so standing in the line, it's like, yeah, and you're trying to like make conversation. And I've had those people that are just rude for the sake of rude. And you're like, okay, well, you know, or it's just one of those, boop, how's your day? Boop. Oh, man, great. How you doing? Fine. Boop. Boop. Not wanting to like really communicate, but like kind of have to be here type situations. And I try and make them laugh because it's like, how is life that hard? Like, what's going on in their world that's causing this attitude right now? But if it is a constant, hey, this one dude at my grocery store is a total jerk, not just to me, but, you know, customers, that reflects poorly, not just on that guy's attitude, but on the store, on the, you gotta.
Yeah, that's
true. You just flat have to. Liveline's got it right. You just do it in a way that's genuine and real and say, hey, man, this, I've dealt with this person a few times. This is the situations. So you don't exaggerate anything. And I'm sure you're not going to be the first person that's made that comment to a manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Liveline says maybe they should take a small gift. Did you just read this one?
No.
They should take a small gift, do a little killing with kindness. Life can be really hard, and maybe the cashier just doesn't know how to get out of that rut or that funk.
Right. Speaking of getting out of things, I have breaking news.
No.
Like real breaking news.
No.
Ready?
Yes.
The U.S. swimmers fabricated an armed robbery story.
Shut up.
The U.S. swimmers fabricated an armed robbery story.
What is wrong with Ryan Lochte? What?
What?
Rather than backpedaling, all the swimmers can be found doing the backstroke at the company pool.
Ryan Lochte and three of his U.S. Olympic swimming teammates, we talked about it earlier in the morning, come to light. They fabricated the story about being robbed at gunpoint that became international news.
Lies!
Yeah. So obviously we talked about the video.
Good grief, yeah. Alive.
Now here's what really happened. A new video surfaced. This one shows the U.S. swimmer, Ryan Lochte, breaking down a bathroom door and fighting a security guard at a gas station around the time the alleged robbery occurred.
You gotta be kidding me.
Brazilian authorities tell ABC News video showing U.S. swimmer breaking down a gas station restroom door and fighting with a security guard. The Brazilian sources say Ryan Lochte and three swimmers fabricated the robbery story to try and get out of this. The security guard did draw a gun at U.S. swimmers after they drunkenly destroyed a gas station toilet and refused to pay for the damages.
You gotta be kidding. Oh my gosh.
The swimmers then did, however, pay up and were let go.
No way.
American swimmers Gunnar Pence, Jack Conger, James Fegan, and Lochte claimed to be the victims of an alleged robbery of their taxi cab en route to the Olympic Village on the way back from a party at the French hospitality house earlier Sunday morning because they didn't have funds because they were busy paying for the bathroom toilet that they destroyed when they were drunk at a gas station.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta be kidding me.
Here is the terrifying thing. Lochte has since returned to the United States. However, Brazilian police, growing skeptical about the story, detained the other swimmers for good reason. They filed an official police report, and that is, I don't know, majorly illegal to fabricate a police report. The other swimmers are facing real hard jail time.
Is this real life?
That's unbelievable.
But Ryan Lochte's not?
According to Sports Illustrated, Michael McCann, the swimmers could face up to 6 months in prison for knowingly filing a false police report.
Do you think would they ship Ryan back?
Brazil cannot force Lochte to be extradited from the United States, but the three swimmers who remain in Rio could be forced to stay for weeks or months.
Oh,
sorry, I didn't mean to get off on the letter from the Starmie member. I apologize, Starmie member, but that just hit my news line, and I freaked out because we were talking about it this morning.
You know what? It kind of makes sense now with Michael Phelps getting off the plane. Maybe he knows some things and just didn't want anything
to
do with the news.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm not talking about it. I got my family with me. I'm out of here.
Yeah,
talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
Because obviously they were out of funds because they had to pay out this gas station because they trashed a bathroom.
Oh, my God. And they were drunk?
And so then they're drunk and they're going, guys, we can't tell everybody we're out of money. What do we do? Here's what we do. I mean, that security guard did point a gun at you, bro. You're right. He did, bro. He totally did. Video shows that the security guard did, in fact, point a gun at the swimmers, but that's because he was trying to get them to pay for the bathroom that they totally destroyed.
Wow. So they fabricated this whole story.
Fabricated the whole thing.
A police officer there that pulled them over because they were in a taxi, right?
Yeah.
And then robbed them and put a gun to Ryan's head. Gosh. That's not good.
Gosh, man.
Great.
Okay, here's the crazy thing. The International Olympic Committee spokesman Mario Andrada, he issued an apology to these U.S. swimmers. He was saying, I can't believe this happened. I'm so sorry, right? He just released a statement, and it's, I think, pretty fantastic, actually. He says, quote, I do not regret having apologized. No apologies from him or the other athletes are even needed. We have to understand that these kids came here to have fun. Let's give these kids a break. Sometimes you make decisions that you later regret. They had fun. Wow. They made a mistake. Life goes on. That's the official statement from the International Olympic Committee spokesperson, Mario Andrada, on, quote, Lochte Gate. That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool,
yeah.
I think that's pretty gracious.
That is so gracious. That does not release the three swimmers that are still in Rio.
Oh, my gosh. Those guys are stuck there.
They were released by authorities early this morning, but they're stuck there pending further questioning. They're expected to be joined by Feagin in cooperation with police again this afternoon, accompanied by legal representation arraigned by the United States Olympic Committee and the United States Consulate.
They're going to have to make a formal apology. They're going to apologize. They're going to get off scot-free. And then everybody in the world's just going to know how much of a big bully America is.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. Have you guys ever seen Locked Up Abroad?
No.
Okay. I can't imagine what
I saw Broke Down Palace. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Like, I'm never leaving America.
Guys, yeah. The prisons and jails in other countries are no joke. These guys might die if they get locked up in these prisons. They will. They most likely will. Look at those guys.
No, I know.
They're American.
Dude, whatever. The U.S. Consulate and the United States Olympic Committee are involved already, and they're boom.
They better hurry because, man, that cannot be a safe place for those guys at all.
Liveline's chiming in. One says, USA! 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 Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
No chanting right now for that.
Yeah. Great.
338-3700. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I would hate to be their parents right now.
I couldn't even fathom.
Yeah.
Imagine being Lochte's mom is the one that broke the story because he probably now that it's like light bulbs are going off.
He calls
his mom because he's out of cash and he needs her to wire him some money. And she's like, "What are you talking about? Why are you out of cash, Olympian? You have all this money."
Or by the police?
Oh no!
Gosh,
it's all making sense.
Yeah,
it's all making sense, bro.
I would hate it.
I knew
it was going to be that way.
Oh gosh,
I knew it. They got drunk.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for calling. Think about it, because that's how the story came out. Lochte's mom posted something to Facebook. So what happens is Lochte gets back. They're
Can
all
we go
hammered.
Back to a couple hours ago when we were joking about this, and I said that.
Yeah,
you did.
I said he lost all his money and called his mom to get more money and made up the story.
And made up a story.
That is exactly
what happened. And then his mom goes and puts it on Facebook, and now he's going, crap.
Mom! No!
They file an official police report in Rio.
And then next thing you know, you're on the beach with Billy Bush, and he's getting interviewed, and he's going, I put a gun to my head, and I was like, whatever.
USA! 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 Trump or Hillary 2016?
I mean, let's go for it and say
Lochte. The world's not laughing at us, right?
Lochte 2016.
The world's not laughing at us.
Bring it on.
You know what? I'm still honored to live in this country. I still love this country. It's still the greatest country in the world.
USA. USA.
USA.
USA.
USA. Oh, gosh.
That's nuts. Yeah. Story, if you're just tuning in, Ryan Lochte.
Lochte.
Whatever his name is.
Robin of Loxley.
Lockshire.
Robin of Loxley.
His other swimming partners.
His half-brother, Will Scarlett.
They fabricated this whole story that came out a couple days ago.
Turns out the Sheriff of Nottingham did not hold them up.
That's right.
Robin of Loxley and Will Scarlett got drunk, tore down a bathroom in the Nottingham Forest. Sheriff of Nottingham shows up to make him pay for it.
At this point, the irony is that there's probably more truth to the legend of Robin Hood than to Ryan Lochte's story about what happened in Brazil.
So true.
Oh man, this is great.
So true.
Whether it's life or there's swimming, always do your best.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Ryan.
And if there's swimming, then where's
that's good, man.
What I like to do is
kind of stay under the profile, under the radar.
Yeah, you're doing real good at that, man.
Yeah, well,
you know what? No, how old is he? 30.
He's 30 or 31.
He's got to be younger because Phelps is 31.
Kids,
and he's like the old man of the bunch.
We've all done really stupid stuff. And this was just a terribly predictable, stupid thing.
Yeah. Liveline, people chiming in. Facebook, wow, that is a horrible but typical representation of the USA.
Mm-hmm.
Lochte should be penalized by the Olympic Committee.
Yeah, when you go over there as an Olympian, there's got to be some rules.
You are a representative of your country.
Yeah, if you do something like what they did,
oh man,
they strip their medals.
Her name is Rio, and she is not happy with you.
She's not.
Man.
whether it's life or there's swimming. Always do your best.
Yeah. No, thanks, man. Yeah. You're right. You're right, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry I trained
like this. Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. We all knew the guy was not the smartest cookie in the box. And he's just proving that again.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know. Something will pop up in my head. It could be like the weirdest thing. Like all of a sudden, like I have like a jumping banana in my head. And I just stop and pause. I'm like, that jumping banana is in my head.
And the thing is, we don't even have clips from these other jokers. But obviously we're running there in the same frame of mind.
You know who wasn't with him? Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps was not with him.
He's off being an adult.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, guys. I did this when I was 15. I mean, come on. What are
or
we, 15?
Was he with them? How crazy would that be?
I don't think he was, right? Wouldn't security footage have already said, and Michael Phelps was there?
Yeah. Dude, I agree with this. Not only did they embarrass their parents, but they embarrassed the United States.
Yeah.
You represent this country.
And the fact that Ryan just took off.
Yeah.
Right away and just left everybody there.
Yeah. He's a good friend. If you're just joining us, it has come to light, breaking news, the U.S. swimmers fabricated the armed robbery story in its entirety because the four of them got hammered at a party in the French hangout area, stopped at a gas station, broke the bathroom door and the toilet. Yeah. Security tries to stop them. They're trying to get out of there. The security guard at the gas station that they just totally destroyed does put a gun to them because he's trying to stop them because, well, they just destroyed a bathroom. They finally agree to pay for the damages that they just caused and left. Jeez. They get back at what, the 4 a.m., 6 a.m., something like that is when they finally get back. And sure enough, they fabricate a story about being robbed because none of them have any money now because they just had to pay the gas station.
Seriously?
For all the damages they caused. International incident. Oh, yeah, the three that are still in Brazil are detained and facing 6 months in prison for fabricating an official police report.
Sarcastically. USA.
USA.
Hopefully that recapped it enough.
USA.
I want to apologize to the world on behalf of my country. We should be doing better.
Shout out to our boy in Cruces who just chimed in saying, Viva Mexico!
Praise be. All right, we're done with the show today. Thank you so much, Starmy, for being a part of it. You can continue to text us.
That's a stabbing. Yep. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
All right. Hit the podcast if you missed any of the show this morning. iTunes, Google Play, just search Morning Invasion. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's all we got. There ain't no more. Time is tight. It's the end of the show.